WBUR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Hold me now, oh, hold me now, till this hour has gone around, and I'm gone on the rising tide, for to face.
The Edge, the only song the Edge ever sang for the great group U2, Van Diemen's Land, off of the tremendous Rattle and Hum album. What a great rockumentary that was, too. As we get you going at 6:05 on your hump day Wednesday morning, we are the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here on Talk Radio 77 WABC with a very exciting show about to come your way. We've got four guests coming on today. Included in that will be a replay of what you heard later in the show yesterday when our fearless owner and dear friend John Catsimatidis had the chance to sit down with Mayor Eric Adams. We'll get that going at about 6:40 this morning, and then three live guests along the way afterwards. With all that said, a happy Wednesday and a good morning to my best buddy, my partner, my man, Bernard McGurk. Good morning, Bernie.
My boy, Sid Rosenberg. How the hell are you, my lad?
I'm good. It's a good day. You sound great again, and I love doing this show with you, and so it's good. I mean, it's a sad day again. I did say yesterday throughout the morning that although it has not been reported that second officer, Mora, was already dead, and some people were very upset with me. I got tweets, and I got Instagram messages and Facebook messages for being insensitive, for telling you and the audience yesterday the guy was dead when they said, that's not true, we don't know that. And I said, no, I do know that. And it turns out that, of course, he is gone. So now this lowlife, this McNeil, who, believe it or not, is actually garnering the sympathy of people like Kristen Jordan, this lowlife New York City councilwoman, garnering sympathy from McNeil. Now it turns out he's killed two cops.
Yeah. This unbelievable, this animal who didn't deserve to be alive, who, by the way, was mentally ill. We'll give him that.
No, I don't want to hear that.
I hate to use that as an excuse.
No excuse. There's a lot of mentally ill people out there that don't kill people.
Anybody, by the way, and people who commit crimes are mentally ill, all right? So there are levels to it. There are degrees, but they're all somewhat sick in the head. But either way, we go back to again, the Thrive program. I mean, this guy could have been treated, perhaps. We can go any different direction as to who to blame. But the sad part is that you were correct yesterday when you said Officer Mora was hanging on by a thread. And he's gone now. And we'll go through the same thing as we're going with Officer Rivera this week. We'll do the same thing next week, as we should, as we very well should. Two young Latino Dominicanos in New York City trying to make their own neighborhoods better as police officers, and they're gone. And again, all these Democrat politicians, I mean, if you want to collectively blame somebody, all the stuff, the actions, the behaviors, the endorsements, the encouragement for the violent rioters and all that stuff, and the crime and ignoring the crime and lenient bail policies, lenient judges, lenient DAs, all of that, you're all to blame.
Oh, agreed. And that's why the other day when Letitia James was crying and Jumaane Williams was crying and the rest of these folks, I have no patience for that. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you. If that's real and you really feel badly, God bless you. You're human. Congratulations. But we don't want to see it because, like Bernie just talked about, you are part of the reason why that animal, who did have priors, was out there in a position to gun down these two beautiful men. So I don't want to hear from you. I don't care if you're upset this morning. But I did want to hear from Mayor Eric Adams yesterday, and he did opt to go on with John Catsimatidis. I thought John did a great job. I know so did you, Bernie. It was a very, very good interview. They covered everything.
And much like the conversation Bo Dietl had with Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg 2 days ago, where according to Bo, Bragg is now doing a 180 and will prosecute people for crimes less than murder and rape, gives you reason for some hope. Listening to Eric Adams with Katsimatidis yesterday, I know you feel the same way, gave us reason for hope. He said a lot of the right things.
He did. He said a lot of the right things with Mr. Katz, and it was refreshing to hear. He also later in the day went out and executed or laid out sort of his plan, his blueprint for, you know, solving crime here in New York City, a blueprint for ending gun violence, as he puts it. And a lot of those things are questionable. They're questionable. We'll get into that a little bit later. I mean, listen, a lot of them, by the way, are similar to stuff that Bill de Blasio laid out earlier last year, in April of 2021, believe it or not, and we'll compare and contrast. Yeah. I mean, stuff like, you know, summer basketball, whatever it is, summer youth employment programs, a listening tour, meeting weekly with local leaders, demanding accountability, expanding community hiring. I mean, come on, what kind of, this is nonsense. We got to get out there. We got to crack some heads. We got to get rid of this no cash bail law. We got to, again, name and shame the people that are stopping, ending the no cash bail law, stuff like that. But he talked about putting out in the next 3 weeks, organizing, putting it out, the anti-crime unit.
Yeah.
But a lot of the language he used, I mean, it may very well, and I hope not, may very well be a neutered, mm-hmm. a very neutered mm-hmm. anti-crime unit. I don't know. I hope not. We'll see. But he laid out that plan yesterday, and a little bit later in the program, we'll compare and contrast what he said as opposed to what Bill de Blasio said in April of 2021 and see, how well did de Blasio's plan work from April of 2021 till now? Not very well.
No, it did not.
And a lot of the stuff that Adam said yesterday, similar to what de Blasio said last year.
So not to use MSNBC as a barometer, ever, Joe and Mika, but they didn't start their program today with Eric Adams. They didn't start with Alvin Bragg. They didn't start with the Ukraine. There may be a war brewing. Who knows? They actually started with something that I'm very interested in. I think you are, too, and that is the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. That is a huge story today. Only one got in. Former Boston Red Sox slugger, a guy that you and I both like, who was almost killed. He was gunned down in his hometown years ago. Big Poppy, David Ortiz.
Poppy!
He's in the Hall of Fame. Now, look, of course, the Veteran Committee did vote in guys like Gil Hodges. You may remember last month. So there's four or five guys going in, but the only vote to get in was David Ortiz. And what that means is now guys like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, they are off the ballot. They are finally off the ballot. Yeah. A-Rod was on the ballot for the first time yesterday, only received 34% of the vote. He's never getting in. But the guy that is most vociferous today is the guy that you really like, a guy that had some huge games as a pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Boston Red Sox, the Philadelphia Phillies, and that's Curt Schilling, who is absolutely convinced that because he sides with the rioters on January 6th, because he is a loud and proud conservative and a Trump supporter, that there is a conspiracy to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling, your thoughts on that, Bernard?
There's no question about it. No question. You talk about cancel culture, and the tentacles are far and wide. I mean, these people are well aware. I mean, look at the guys like Rob Manfred, the cowardice on display from a guy like him during the last 2 years. You can't help but think that that it doesn't make its way into an organization like the Baseball Hall of Fame, that they don't talk about stuff like that. They absolutely positively do. I mean, you know, I'm a skeptic, of course. I may be wrong. I have no proof of it. But those are my feelings. I believe it wholeheartedly.
See, the only problem is, and I believe it too, I'm with you, and Kurt believes it too, is that his numbers. See, if you believe in the big game theory, big game on the line when Arizona beat the Yankees in the World Series, him and Randy Johnson, Kurt was great. Boston Red Sox, the bloody ankle, Kurt was great. So if you believe in the big game theory, Schilling should be a Hall of Famer. But his numbers are not really Hall of Fame numbers. So it's not as if it's an obvious snub, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So there will be some that will say he's out of his mind, he's a conspiracy theorist, so are Bernie and Sid, because the numbers don't scream Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, very well could be. But the guy played with bloody socks, did he not?
He did, against the Yanks. All that right. was classic.
There you go. Put him in.
Put him in.
No, there's no bleeding in baseball, right?
Not usually.
No,
so
bled.
Right. So we got the local stuff with Eric Adams. And again, if you missed it yesterday, we're going to replay John Catsimatidis with Eric Adams coming up at 6:40. We got to the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I did make mention about Ukraine. Once again, that was a big story yesterday. Joe Biden, the whole White House, and again, a lot of Americans really nervous that we're on the brink of a war once Russia invades the Ukraine. Bernie, what's the latest with that?
Well, the latest is that they're still contemplating putting 8,500 troops. In fact, I think they're going ahead with it into Eastern Europe. I mean, there's no appetite for war on anybody's part. And that goes for the people we are purportedly protecting, which are the Eastern European Europe, essentially. I mean, Germany has no desire whatsoever to have hostilities, you know, even a bad relationship with Putin. They buy their energy from Russia. They buy their energy for they're not afraid of Russia. They're not afraid. Nobody cares. This is me speaking. A lot of people disagree. Do you care if the Ukraine government is pro Putin or anti Putin? What do I care?
I don't care. I don't care.
By the way, that's the same government, this guy, the same government that paid Joe Biden's crackhead son millions of dollars.
That's right.
And he's taking their side. I mean, is there no conflict of interest there?
Of course there is. Now, he did change the language yesterday. You remember last week he was like, if Putin goes in, if there's a minor incursion, he's a bad boy, no pudding, if you don't eat your meat, all that little niceties. Now Biden yesterday changed it to there will be enormous consequences if Russia invades Ukraine. And as a proud American, and I think we're as tough as it gets, I would love to know what those enormous consequences are going to be. Because to me, coming from Joe Biden, that rings very shallow.
Yeah, well, it's got to include this pipeline. We got to stop the there are other pipelines in the work. We have to stop Germany. Germany has to agree.
Not going
to
happen.
To not buy that stuff.
Not going to happen.
But just, Justin, do you have this clip of the national security, deputy national security guy on CNN? Just listen to the way he talks about going into the Ukraine. Do you have this, Justin?
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
You hear that? Borders, sovereignty should be respected. You hear this language? Meanwhile, yesterday you had videotape coming out of hordes of people coming in. And by the way, the hordes of people coming in, they're not families. They're adult young males.
Right.
But I mean, the tone deafness, I mean, what do they think? We're absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
And the same thing. Kamala Harris yesterday reiterated the same stupid language, the same language that she should be using for the southern border, she used for the Ukrainian border. Again, like with dopes. Play that one, Justin.
The bottom line is that we have been clear and consistent for quite some time that we respect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, and we expect that Russia would do the same, and any aggressive action taken by Vladimir Putin will be met with severe consequences.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
It just blows your mind. Did you hear Biden at the end of the clip?
Yeah.
Just blows your mind. The territorial integrity of the borders of Ukraine, while you're in charge of the border down here in the United States, the southern border,
yeah.
And you do jack squat while drugs are coming over, yeah, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. You do nothing. I mean, I couldn't detest these people anymore. I just could not.
One more story that I'll make four in the open before we get again to John and Eric Adams and three great guests. One of my guilty pleasures, of course, the Bravo channel, Real Housewives of New Jersey, season 12, debuts Tuesday night, but Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I do watch every Sunday night. So there's a young lady just got fired by the Bravo channel on the show. She's the prettiest girl on the show, I think.
An Asian lady, right?
That's correct. Jen Nguyen. And they actually called her Asian Jen. Now, on that show, by the way, Jen Shah, who may be the star of the show, you know, she got in big trouble last year, Bernie, the FBI fraud. She's in big, big trouble, millions and millions of dollars. Long story short, they found on her Facebook years ago, Jen, that she was bashing BLM. Look, she's an Asian girl. We know that the overwhelming majority of the attacks on Asians in this city were committed by who? Blacks. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Bingo. And by the way, had been occurring prior to the whole Asian hate phenomenon. I mean, it's been going on for years. Go back to the riots and the Rodney King riots, Koreatown,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. You know, even in Do the Right Thing, you know, they went into delis and Asians are watching the young blacks, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
So they're going on forever. Right. So she's been bashing BLM for years. She's right. That is a Marxist, terrorist, communist organization led by people that don't give a rat's ass about black people but are buying brand new homes in Beverly Hills. So she got fired. So while Kurt Schilling can yell and scream all he wants, and I think he's right, and so do you, we're not exactly sure. Here in this case, because this lady had the guts to call out BLM for what they are, she was fired by the Bravo channel yesterday. That is a terrible job. And people like Jen Shah, who have been indicted, I believe, for fraud or millions of dollars. She's married to a black guy, and she's the one most vociferous about getting rid of Jen, and that's why Jen is gone today. So there you have it.
Unbelievable. And by the way, a Black Lives Matter, again, responsible, maybe directly, but at least tangentially, at least indirectly, for the deaths of these two police officers, for the lawlessness, the atmosphere of again, lawlessness, chaos that we're witnessing in the streets today. Black Lives Matter directly responsible for it, encouraging assaulting police officers and the disrespect of police officers, leading to their lack of, you know, their lack of being assertive, being aggressive on the street, leading to the deaths of black people in the streets and white people, but mostly black people.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. All right, so coming up again at 6:40, we're going to replay the conversation yesterday between our man, John Catsimatidis, and Mayor Eric Adams. If you missed it, you're going to love it. That's coming up at 6:40. 7:40 this morning, our dear friend, the great Congressman Peter King, with his weekly visit. Coming up at 8:40 this morning, the second Republican gubernatorial candidate in as many days to appear on the Bernie and Sid show, Andrew Giuliani. Rudy's son will be here coming up at 8:40. And then the lady that beat Todd Kominsky, talking about Black Lives Matter and criminals running in the streets, and Alvin Bragg and Eric Adams and Donnelly, live at 9:25. It's a monster Bernie and Sid Wednesday morning show. Keep it right here. We'll be back right after these short messages.
I like this.
Howard Jones.
You got the menu, but you just can't eat. You can feel the cushions, but you can't have a seat. You can dip your foot in the pool, but you can't have a swim. You can feel the punishment, but you can't
come. Come on, bro.
And you want her, and she wants you. We want
her. You know, I once saw this guy with my ex-girlfriend, Ava. My daughter was named after her.
Is that right?
Danielle knew her. She knew the actual Ava girlfriend. She actually said to me one day in the car, she goes, am I petty? And I said, Danielle, you're a lot of things. She was pregnant. But you're not petty. She said, well, I like the name Ava, but, you know, am I not going to name our daughter Ava because you dated some slut? So, true story. But anyway, I did see Howard Jones once at Radio City Music Hall, circa 1985, and it was great. How about that?
That was fantastic. Yeah. Good memories. Howard Jones. I couldn't even name the guy. I think he was a one-hit wonder, right? That's pretty much all.
He had about 10 really, really big songs.
Really?
But I have to rejaw your memory. Those are the days, Bernie, you were doing a lot of drugs.
I was going to say, I got to quit the drugs, but it's way too late for that. Way, way too late. Hey, listen, speaking to somebody who is, maybe not the result of drugs, but this is a big deal. Yesterday, President Biden, Joe Biden, the imbecile in chief, he did nothing. He had nothing on the schedule. He called the lid at 3 o'clock. You know what he did yesterday? He did two things. He went to a woman's boutique store. Now, again, we're on the precipice maybe of World War III, inflation, crime, all kinds of crazy stuff happening in the world. He went to a woman's boutique store in which he bought a mug with Kamala Harris's face on it.
No.
Yeah, as though, yeah, the continuing this a fake narrative that he and her are cool. You know what I'm saying? And he bought ice cream. Those are the two things that he did yesterday. That is it. Completely did nothing, this Joe Biden, as the world is falling apart. Because, of course, he's not running anything. It's all about the handlers. Back
right.
at the Ron Klain and Susan Rice and, you know, Obama, the red the hotline to Obama, et cetera, et cetera. Psaki was asked yesterday why Biden's, you know, schedule was empty on a day, a crucial, critical day yesterday. And she had a hard time answering the question. Take a listen.
So the president has nothing on his schedule today aside from the PDB. Can you shed any light on how he's spending his day?
Well, let's see. This morning, I think he had some policy meetings, also a PDB meeting. He later this afternoon, I think, is doing some remarks review. There are some days that we spend some time doing internal meetings and discussions with policy experts, with policy leaders, and that's what's happening today. He would say he doesn't have nearly enough time of free time on his schedule because it is packed no matter whether people see him or not.
Stupid son of a liar. Yeah, you're going to end every clip of stupid sons of bitches with, you're a stupid son of a bitch. And she had no answer. They have nothing but contempt for us. Nothing. To have the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, at a time like this, in the middle of the week, doing nothing, buying ice cream? I mean, and then, again, no explanation, no nothing. Remember President Trump, the Energizer Bunny? This guy was meeting with this one, that one, that one, this one. Supply chain problems. You got the business leaders coming into the White House. Roundtables, cabinet meetings, whatever. Nothing. Not meeting with any cabinet members himself. No sneaky Pete Buttigieg. The home heating prices up 50, 60%. Not meeting with the energy secretary. Not meeting with Mayorkas on these latest videos coming out of the southern border showing people coming in, mostly young males, getting into Ubers, getting into planes. And by the way, you know one last thing, what the government authorized? Illegal immigrants can use their arrest warrants to board a plane.
Unbelievable.
That would be their ID. Use their arrest
That's
warrants.
That's unbelievable.
This is the contempt they have for you. And again, they're getting away with it, I think, for the most part. Although, as we spoke about yesterday, a lot of people drifting away, realizing the absolute incompetence and disdain that this government has for the general public.
Well, drifting away, we're going to see. The proof will be in the pudding in 2022, and hopefully we get back the House and the Senate, and of course in 2024, when hopefully President Trump once again can call Pennsylvania Avenue his home. Okay, coming up at 7:40, Peter King, 8:40, Andrew Giuliani, 9:25, we'll talk to Ann Donnelly, the new, of course, DA out there in Long Island. But coming up next, if you missed it yesterday, it was really, really good, worthy of a playback this morning. Our main man, John Catsimatidis, sat down on this show, 8:30 yesterday morning with Mayor Eric Adams, and they broke it all down for you. If you missed it, we got you covered. Catsimatidis and Adams, Bernie, coming up next.
No doubt. Also traffic and sports, but right now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Rita Cosby every weeknight at 10 o'clock. Here Rita talks mask mandates.
A lot of people just feel like enough. Is it science? Is it tyranny? Is it a battle for freedom? I mean, I feel like there are so many mixed messages that we're getting about cloth masks don't work. These other ones do. Kids don't need it. We know that on the Omicron that there have been not a lot of cases. I think a lot of issues should also be up to parents. I think parents should be able to have a say, don't you? I mean, I think it's really, really crazy that it's sort of this one size fits all. Are we going to be an eternal mask mandate world in New York and across the country?
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers on 77 WABC.
There is huge news, and I mean this, huge news coming out of the National Football League. One of the best coaches in football, a man that won a Super Bowl as head coach of the New Orleans Saints, is calling it quits after 16 seasons in Orleans. Sean Payton has decided to step down unbelievable out of nowhere. Here was Sean Payton yesterday announcing the news.
I still have a vision for doing things in football, and I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. When you come in as a young coach, you make a lot of mistakes. It's not until you get older and more experienced that you realize the more important things are this and not that.
You want a memory? Jim Bosel took the play calling away from Sean Payton when he was coaching with the Giants the year that the Giants went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Baltimore Ravens. That's how long Sean Payton has been around. He calls it quits. He will coach again. I guarantee you that. Major League Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday. No Roger Clemens, no Barry Bonds, no Sammy Sosa, no A-Rod on year one. Only one got in, the great David Ortiz, Big Poppy. And who did he thank? The Yanks.
I thank them so much because they pulled the best out of me. Sometimes you think that competition at that level, you need to panic. You look at things in the wrong direction. It was fire to me. Every time we played the Yankees, it was like Goliath against David. We are David. So we got to bring our best to be Goliath. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Ortiz's teammate in Boston, Curt Schilling, did not get in either. NBA last night, 33 for LeBron James. The Lakers beat the Nets in Brooklyn, 106-96. Despite 33 from James Harden, the Nets are now 29-18. They're third in the East behind the Heat and the Bulls. And hockey last night, the Stars blew out the Devils 5-1, and the Isles skated past the Flyers 4-3. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today and every day. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Coming up next, John Katsimatidis with Eric Adams. Keep it right here. I'm Sid with Sports.
I know I got a bad reputation, and it isn't just talk, talk, talk. If I could only give you everything, you know I haven't got. I couldn't have one conversation if it wasn't for the lies, lies, lies. And still I wanna tell you everything till I close my eyes. Suddenly I'm on the street, 7 years disappeared.
Freddie Jackson, Bad Reputation at 6:41 on your Wednesday morning. Again, coming on live this morning, coming up in about an hour at 7:40, making his weekly Wednesday appearance, the great congressman and dear friend Peter King. At 8:40 this morning, Republican gubernatorial candidate Andrew Giuliani. 9:25, the new DA out on Long Island, Ann Donnelly. Lydia Reports and Beat Bernie, all coming up today, but coming up right now. If you missed it yesterday at 8:30, Eric Adams was on the show. John Katsimatidis came in, did a great interview. They discussed everything going on in New York City and how, in fact, the mayor is going to fix what's broken. So if you missed it yesterday, here it is right now. John Katsimatidis and the mayor, Eric Adams.
Every Democratic mayor in the country is looking at him as, what is Mayor Eric Adams going to do, because we will follow. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
The cats, how are you? Always good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you and the whole country. You've been mayor for 3 weeks, but the whole country is looking at you right now. What is Eric Adams going to do? Because I think they want to follow. And you have made yourself a national spokesman for being mayor of New York City. And you have a new program, I understand, called the Blueprint to End Gun Violence. You want to tell all New Yorkers about it?
It's very interesting. My goal yesterday was really to do a comprehensive layout of what's feeding the sea of violence. There are many rivers that are flowing into the sea of violence. And it's dealing with lawmakers, the flow of guns, the practices on the ground in policing, mental health. And each one of those sea rivers must be dammed. If you don't, you're not going to address the underlying causes of violence. And we're doing our job of taking guns off the streets. Last year, the New York City Police Department removed 1,000 illegal guns off our streets. This year, we have removed over 300 since the time I took office. Why are we still seeing the constant flow of these guns? But not only that, do we have dangerous guns on our streets, we have to do a better job of not allowing dangerous people to continue to come on our streets. We have to tweak our bail laws. We have to tweak our mental health laws. We have to tweak how we go about dealing with those who are on the street dealing with mental health issues and they're dangerous to themselves and others.
We all agree 100%. Now, there's one, a lot of important things. We have to get all our politicals, politicians together on this, that yes, we have sympathy for people that have mentally ill problems. We have sympathy for the homeless. We have sympathies. At what point on these people's arrest record? There used to be a law. There was going to be a law. Three strikes and you're out. If you have three violent crimes or more, at what point do you throw them in jail and say you're a menace to society?
Here's what we're doing wrong right now. And this is something that, you know, I'm sure you recall, those of us who are old enough to remember. During the late 60s and 70s, drug dealers identified that you could have youth or juveniles carry drugs because if they're arrested, they'll be treated in family court. That's what people are doing now, exploiting young people. They are having young people carry guns because they realize if they're caught with the guns and it's not publicly exposed, it goes to the family court. And we're seeing repeated cases where young people are caught with guns, they go to family court, and they come out. The young person who shot a police officer, he was just on probation in December for carrying a gun, and now in January, he's back with another gun shooting a police officer. We have to stop this from continuing to happen because this is putting dangerous people back on the streets, and that's the combination of lawmakers and public service officers, police officers, and solving the solution, and like I say, damming these rivers of violence.
Mayor Adams, I used to call you Eric when you were borough president. Now I call you Mayor Adams. And Mayor Adams, you were started as a transit cop originally. Is it time, instead of spending $7 billion on rails and subways, is it time maybe to put one police officer on every station and maybe one on every train until we solve the problem?
Well, omnipresence is important. That's the concept of having visible, uniformed police personnel throughout the system or throughout the city, because that deals with the two crises we're facing. We're crising the actual violence that's in our subway system, but we're also dealing with the feeling and the perception that people don't feel safe. And so we had additional 22,000 subway inspections from the time I took office. 1,000 more officers are visiting the system, doing also inspections. We're going to bring more officers when we civilianize, bringing police officers from desk duties, placing them on patrol. So we're going to continue to see the omnipresence that's needed. And my officers are now riding the subway trains so that you see them and you feel safer. We all do when we see that uniform officer that's there. We're not going to allow the congregating of officers. There was a New York Post article that showed 8 officers standing together in a subway station. That's not acceptable. We believe our officers should spread out throughout the system and do that visible omnipresence. That's important.
Oh, we agree 100%. Now, the mentally ill. 20 years ago, there used to be 30,000 of them in hospitals. Now there's 3,000 because somebody, I don't know which politician, I'm not going to point fingers, threw them on the streets of New York. Those people are human beings. They need help. What can we do? Can we create maybe a hospital system on Rikers Island? Because these people need help. They don't deserve to be living like that.
Well said, Katz. And we have really embraced this concept that it's dignified to live on the streets, live in the subway system, sleep on grates, sleep on tents in front of establishments. This is our course of doing business when it comes out with those with street homelessness and mental health crises. I don't believe that. And this administration is not going to push that policy forward. Number one, the subways are made for commuting. We're going to partner with mental health professionals and law enforcement officers, and we're going into the system, and we're going to escort people off the system that are dangerous to themselves and others, and clearly they are in need of care, and we're going to give them the wraparound services that they need. I believe in the Fountain House model. The Fountain House is a model that actually builds trust with people who are homeless and ensure that they get the services that they need. That is what we're going to focus on. We can't have a system where people are sleeping on the system, carrying all of their belongings on the system, laying out on train stations and on subway trains. This is not acceptable, and we're moving from the model of just acting like they don't exist and acting like it's dignified to live on the subway system or on our streets. That's not the model we're going to practice under this administration.
The five DAs that come under New York City, have you met with all of them? I'm sure you have. Are they going to be cooperating with you, the federal government, or whoever, just to make sure that bad criminals, I'm not talking about people with 1 ounce of marijuana. Nobody gives a damn. But bad criminals that are hurting the citizens of New York City, that something happens to them to make our city safer?
Yes. I have a great relationship with all five of my district attorneys. We're going to continue to communicate and act as partners in dealing with crime. Are there going to be areas we may have a philosophical disagreement? Yes, but we will work through them. They, like I, know that our city must be safe, and we can't continue to have violent people placed on our city streets and creating violence in our communities.
So it comes down to bring our city back, and I was on that Zoom call with Kathy Wilde the other day with D.A. Bragg. To bring our city back, we have to take care of the violent criminals. We can't accept them. We got to take care of the homeless because they need help. And we got to take care of the mentally ill because those are the people. Some of them are veterans. Some of them are permanently mentally ill, and we have to make sure they have their medicines and make sure we take care of them. I agree with you on all of that. And every New Yorker agrees with you with that. Go ahead.
And you just laid out what I am sharing with New Yorkers, that when we think of violence, it is not one river that's feeding the sea. As you stated, we have to deal with the mental health. We have to deal with the gun violence. We have to deal with just a total feeling of disorder. All of those things we must deal with, and that includes making sure we stop the flow of guns in our city. It includes making sure that when we take dangerous people off the street, that they go through our court system in an expeditious fashion, and we're not holding up trials. And when we examine what is clogging up the wheels of justice, and that is what we laid out yesterday so that we can make sure we declog those wheels so they can move in a very expeditious but fair way.
We had one of the people that you talked to, we had Bill Bratton, Commissioner Bratton, on our show last night. And he talks to you once in a while and advises you once in a while. There's so many illegal guns in the city. How can we separate the people that use illegal guns to terrorize other citizens versus maybe the bodega owner that has a gun to protect his family in his store? Can we somehow separate the two?
Yes, we can. And that's with a well-trained police officer that's familiar with the streets. They have the proper training. They use the technology such as video cameras to ensure that they identify the individuals who are potentially carrying weapons, and how they carry out their communication and interactions with these individuals, and that they understand that they properly identify themselves as police officers. And we have police officers with that level and those level of skill sets to do the job right. We need to give them the tools and support to be able to carry this out.
You were a captain in the NYPD, and you were a police officer. Is your goal, and I think it is, that you want to make sure that the people in blue, the NYPD, every servant of our city, that they feel confident that you got their back? Can you give them confidence that you got their back?
Yes, I can. And, you know, trust is not just given, it's earned. As police officers, we must rebuild trust with the residents. And as the leader of the city, I must rebuild trust with my police officers. We have our officers going out doing difficult jobs. If they carry out their jobs and hand off dangerous people to the system, we must make sure laws keep dangerous people incarcerated until they serve their time. And we must make sure that prosecutors are prosecuting those who violate the law. You can't have a city such as New York where people feel any and everything goes. That is unacceptable, and that is dangerous to the quality of life that we expect as New Yorkers.
Now, once we take care of crime and people feel safe, I believe people that have moved, people that are scared to ride the subways, people that they're all going to come back because this is the greatest city in the world. And is it a lot of responsibility? Because it all lies on your shoulders, Mayor Adams.
It is, and I want the obligation and the responsibility. This is a city that I love. I was able to have a good career here as a police officer, as a state senator, and as the borough president. I believe everyone should have the opportunity. I say all the time, Cass, America is the only place where dream is attached to our name. There's not a German dream, a Polish dream, a French dream, but there's an American dream. And the real symbol of that American dream is right here in New York, where we have a diverse population of all different cultures and ethnicity, and we should have the right to move towards that dream every day. And the only way we can do that is to be a safe place. The prerequisite of prosperity is public safety and justice.
So if crime goes away, if we clean up our streets, and in addition, Omicron goes away, I think it's the greatest city in the world. Do you have a dream of what you want to do to put New York City back on the map?
Yes, get crime under control, bounce back by COVID, build an economy that is going to deal with the inequalities that really prevented New Yorkers from experiencing the American dream. And that is our goal, and we know it's possible to do so. This city is manageable. Far too many people believe that we can't manage the city. And I'm saying to New Yorkers, yes, we can. We must have the covenant protected. Taxpayers pay their taxes. Agencies are supposed to use those tax dollars to provide goods and services. As your mayor, I'm going to make sure we provide those goods and services so you get your money's worth as a taxpayer.
We have a minute left. Anything else you want to tell all New Yorkers? Not all New Yorkers. America is listening to you. All Americans.
I want them to believe. I want them to believe. People reflect on September 11, 2001. They think about watching those buildings collapse. And although I honor those who lost their lives that day, Cats, the day I remember the most is September 12, 2001. We got up. Buildings built, teachers taught, New Yorkers responded in an admirable way to the crisis that we were facing. We showed our resiliency. And because we stood tall in the face of uncertainty, the rest of the country looked at New York City and said, darn it, we can make it. And that's what we are now. COVID is not terrorism, but it has terrorized us. And now it's time for us to really show our resiliency once again. Open our businesses, make sure our children are in school, less employed. Let's make sure we patronize our shops. Let's get up once again and show the entire globe what we need to do as we have done so many times before.
Merrick, Mayor Eric Adams, thank you, and we hope we can make this a regular thing where you talk to New Yorkers, talk to Americans, and God bless you and God bless America. And the nation is watching, and we're on your side, and we stand by you, and we pray for New York. We all pray for New York.
Okay, and let's pray for those officers. One is trying to recover from a terrible attack on our criminal justice system, and the officer we lost, both these officers, Officer Mora and Officer Rivera, are real New York heroes.
Yes, they are, and then we have to put a stop to this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My sidekick on the show, Sid Rosenberg, says he really loves you.
Thank you, Sid. Take care.
Take care.
It's a beautiful morning.
I don't think I will. It's a little chilly back here on the Bernie and Sid show. On this, I guess we'll call it a happy hump day. Actually, it's not happy at all. The last week of one of the bleakest months in memory, January of 2022. So, we have that today. Listen, I heard, by the way, we're heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Just let me remind you folks, download it. It's easy. You don't want to miss what's happening on 77 WABC. Also, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And you can check us out, watch us on our live stream, WABCradio.tv, your smart TVs, your computers, et cetera, et cetera. Deb Valentine in the newscast. Nancy Pelosi is going to seek re-election. This woman's like 86 years old.
I think she's 81, though, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, she's like 105.
I embellish a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She's going to win again, too. She's going to win.
She did such a great job in San Francisco.
Yeah,
it's
just
like thriving. Yeah. The place is terrific. It's great. And, of course, the country as well. I mean, everything's wonderful. This dusty old communist, all these old fart communists, cowards afraid of these young radicals in Congress. They're the most despicable people, and that she's going to run again? What, lady, go home and enjoy the smell of roses. Get the hell out. Leave. So listen, that was a terrific interview with our boss, John Katsimatidis, and our new mayor, Eric Adams. And, he sounds like he says the right things and all that stuff. And there's some hope. I retain some hope in Eric Adams. I think maybe he can get this stuff done, but there are other things sometimes that he says that I'm not so sure about. He talked about bringing back the anti-crime unit, which they will do within the next 3 weeks, he says. But he says it ain't going to be anything like the anti-crime unit of the past. Well, the anti-crime unit of the past was the one that was very effective.
Yeah.
They got guns off the street. Crime was down at record lows, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you mean it's not going to be anything like it? Anyway, let him explain. Take a listen to Eric Adams.
We're going to make sure this is not the anti-crime unit of the days. These officers are going to wear identifiable parts of police attire and apparel, such as the windbreaker jackets, like you see other law enforcement agencies will wear. So you know who they are. The complaints we receive is that officers dressed in jeans and sweatshirts were jumping out of cars, not properly identifying themselves. We are going to learn from the past so we don't repeat the past. And we will never use, under my administration, any abusive targeting tactics that goes after people based on their ethnicity and where they live. That is not going to happen under my administration.
Let's go after people who we suspect are the perps. And by the way, as far as cops, putting them at a disadvantage, identifying themselves, I mean, I think the fact that they're, you know, in plain clothes and you don't know who the hell they are, they have the element of surprise. I think that's, that helps them. That puts them at an advantage. And I'm not sure about that policy right there.
Yeah.
But there you have Eric Adams. You know, your boy, Michael Rappaport.
Yeah.
He actually, he was at an Upper East Side Rite Aid.
He lives there, actually. He lives in the 80s on the Upper East Side. I did speak to Michael yesterday, but go ahead. It's a great story.
Yeah. He grew up there. But either way, And this has been going on in the this is going on. It's been ongoing for a long time. High-end stores and, of course, these pharmacies, which are stacked with all kinds of stuff. People just walking in and walking out casually, just stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, he videotaped some of it yesterday, and he was shocked, he claims. And he's like, we got to lock these bastards up.
Well, he wasn't shocked. He was pissed.
He was pissed.
Yeah, because he spends, don't forget, he spends half the year between New York, Bernard, and Los Angeles. So he was in L.A. When they were having some of the real bad looting and riots and all that stuff. So he's now seen it on both coasts, and he gets crazy. I mean, he is relatively rational at times, and I thought yesterday that was very, very good.
Yeah, I agree as well, but these people are experiencing epiphanies. These people are now coming around to my way of thinking, at the very least.
But again, I caution you. You're right. Some of them are. But I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. While Michael Rappaport agrees and sees the looting and is angry, he will never vote Republican. And my fear is that's the case with most of these people. They may hate Joe Biden. They may hate what the country is going through right now. They may hate what's going on in their neighborhoods. But they ain't voting for Donald Trump in 2024.
Well,
that's my
Donald
fear.
Trump. You got to vote Republican 2022. You got to vote the people who are going to stop just what he was railing against yesterday.
I hope
so. That's who you have to vote against. If you don't, you're stupid. You're suicidal. I mean, what are you screaming about on a videotape if you're not going to actually act on it?
True. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So listen, Eric Adams laid out his blueprint to end gun violence yesterday. And
he went one step further. If you really want to give Eric Adams credit this morning, and if it sounds like I'm sucking up this a little, maybe I am. But he actually did make a phone call yesterday, an important phone call. He called Albany. Eric Adams, got to give him credit, called Albany to start to reform the bail reform. He made the phone call to Albany to start to reform bail reform.
Bro, he's listening to the Bernie and Sid.
No doubt.
He's listening. We told him. I said, you're the media darling. You have the bully pulpit. Name and shame people. Okay, you want to start with a phone call? If they don't act, start calling them out by name. You have blood on your hands, Carl Heastie.
Right. He hasn't done that. But that was one of the five things that me and you pointed out the other day. There were five things he can do. And one of the five was just that, reform the bail reform. And he did make the phone call to Albany yesterday.
And fire the New York State Parole Board that actually paroles cop killers, among other things, many other things that he could do. But as far as his blueprint, to end gun violence, listen to this. A listening tour. Remember Hillary Clinton's listening tour? A listening tour. What do we need to listen? A summer youth employment program. That's never been tried before. Meet weekly with local leaders, demand accountability, expand community hiring, et cetera, et cetera. He did say more officers on patrol. That's good. And, again, he talked about the anti-crime unit, but you heard what he just said. I hope it's not going to be a neutered anti-crime unit. But listen, Justin and Mike and Luke, they put together this montage. They really worked hard to do it. Mayor de Blasio laid out his blueprint to fight gun violence, as he called it, in April of 2021. Eric Adams laid out his yesterday. Luke and Justin and Mike, they interspersed the two of them. And listen to how similar they both sound, Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio, on fighting crime in New York City.
We're going to involve every community, every precinct, and our state and federal partners.
This plan focuses on the three pieces that are crucial: our communities, our cops, and our courts.
We will start by putting more officers on patrol in key neighborhoods throughout the city,
ensuring that our cops are in the places we need them most intensely. So this is the top 100 blocks strategy.
My administration will launch an unprecedented summer youth employment, youth and youth engagement program for summer 2022. As we know that gang violence and gun crimes spike in the summer months.
The Summer Youth Anti-Violence Employment Effort. This has been an effort to ensure that young people who are at risk get opportunities for summer youth employment, get steered in the right direction.
Gun violence is a public health crisis, and it is one that must be addressed at every level of government. We must see immediate action from Congress on guns.
We need the Congress to act on the issue of guns, once and for all. We all see it with our eyes.
I don't know. Sounds like you copied and pasted.
It does, man.
Bill de Blasio's. I don't know. I don't know. But
that's a little too close for comfort for me.
I would say so.
A little too close.
Okay. Well, but we're reserving judgment. We're going to give Eric, Mayor Adams, let me address him with the respect he deserves at this point. Mayor Adams, we're going to give him a chance, see what he does, see how he acts. And switching topics a little bit.
Well, one more thing on the Eric Adams and the police thing. Wilbert Moyer, the other officer, did die. We talked yesterday. I said he was actually. So he did die. The funeral for Rivera is Friday, which I'll be going to. So I'm on the air until 8 o'clock on Friday morning. Then Curtis will take over, I guess. And they announced this morning that the funeral for Officer Moyer will be on Wednesday. So Friday, Rivera gets his funeral at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and the funeral for Moyer will be coming up a week from today, next Wednesday.
Just terribly, terribly depressing. Two young, actually, Dominicanos want to help their neighborhoods out. Rivera grew up in Harlem. I'm not sure where Moyer did, Harlem or the Bronx, either way. I mean, I'm just so bummed out, so depressed over this whole thing, like everybody else. And kudos to you and everybody else who will make the trek into St. Patrick's Cathedral to pay their respects to really a good, very good, maybe great young man, Jason Rivera. So anyway, listen, quickly, somebody who's not great, he's a POS, somebody who was instrumental in your life, Sydney, tangentially, you know, with your Uncle Norm. His name is Al Franken.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
You heard about this?
He beat my cousin, Norm.
Yeah.
Norm was trying to win the senatorial again in Minnesota, and Franken beat him.
He beat him, and the guy's just garbage is what he is. But listen to what he said yesterday on a podcast comparing the United States, and he's talking about the upcoming election. You know, the Democrats have been saying that if they lose the election in November, you know, in a big way, that it's going to be illegitimate, echoing really what they say that Trump has been saying, stuff like that. He's questioning democracies and insurrections, all this stuff. So anyway, Al Franken took it a step further yesterday. Listen to this.
This is a serious one, and I think other people are feeling it. It feels like, I don't know, 1933, 34, Germany, and right. I'm just like, I don't know, in a tavern, and I look over the other table, and there's guys in black jack boots and Nazi uniforms. Yeah, and I'm going like,
that's funny.
This looks bad. Yeah. I wonder how bad it can get.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. For Franken,
son of a bitch.
He should know better. He's a Jew, by the way, to ever make any comparisons to the Nazis. Jews should know better. But the good news is, while Al Franken made those horrible and awful comments yesterday, let's not forget how his career ended. He was basically shamed and carried out of Washington, D.C. with a bunch of serious controversies and sexual allegations on his shoulders. So he can talk all he wants, but it ended in very humiliating fashion for Al Franken.
Well, he was thrown under the bus by his own colleagues. And by the way, whatever he did and was accused of was really minor. It was nothing, but they needed his scalp. They couldn't, during the Me Too movement, Kirsten Gillibrand and the rest of them, they said, you know what? Get rid of him. Get him out. And they did. And so, yeah, you're right. Humiliating fashion. It all ended. But to compare the United, where was he sitting? He must have been on a Hollywood set. He saw guys in Nazi uniforms. Where the hell was he? I mean, this guy's sick in the head.
Sick in the head. Yeah. It's like the Andrew Cuomo thing, right? He hasn't, and I spoke to John Esteen last week, he hasn't gone to jail, and he hasn't really suffered any real legal issues. But at the very least, he was, you know, he was humiliating, taken out of office. Same thing with Al Franken. He suffered the same fate as Andrew Cuomo.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. It's a win.
It's a win for us on the Bernie and Sid Show. Look, Congressman Peter King is coming up a little bit later. And then, of course, we'll speak to later in the show. We're going to speak to Andrew Giuliani, who's running for governor. The mask mandate, by the way, is back on at the courts. Some appeals court said not so fast. Either way, the mask mandate expires, I think, like on Monday or something like that. So it's kind of academic right now. But symbolically, it's a big deal. We'll see what happens with that. All here on the Bernie and Sid Show, 1-800-848-9222.
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up from the NRIA.net studios in New York. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. On this Wednesday, it is interesting to hear liberals yell at each other. The latest example, Bill Maher versus Whoopi Goldberg. Apparently, Mr. Maher is fed up with COVID restrictions and all this vax controversy. He wants it to stop. He feels that ongoing, it's foolish to torture the American people over COVID. Well, Whoopi Goldberg on The View was appalled by Mr. Maher's opinion. And she basically called him insensitive, irresponsible, on and on and on and on. So here we have two lefties going at it. The right has experienced this over Donald Trump. You'll remember the never Trumpers, conservatives who did not like the former president and bashed him at every opportunity that put them at odds with the Trump supporters. Now, there's nothing really wrong with this. In fact, it's more frightening for a monolithic opinion in any group. Dissent is good. Robust debate is good. But now we're coming to a point in America where differences of opinion can lead to hatred. And we see it almost every day. I don't think Maher and Goldberg hate each other, but they're certainly not going to go out to dinner anytime soon, vaccinated or not. That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
You. 77 WABC listeners following the fatal shooting of NYPD officers Jason Rivera and Wilbert Mora. It's more important than ever to show our police the support and respect they deserve. This Friday, 77 WABC is asking all Americans to stand and take a moment of silence for 1 minute at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard to honor two heroes, police officers Jason Rivera and Police Officer Wilbert Mora. You can also show your support for Officers Rivera, Officer Mora, their families, friends, and all police personnel by heading over to WABCradio.com/pin and get a free 77 WABC Back the Blue pin. Once you get your pin, take a selfie and post it to your social media with the hashtag 77WABCBTB. That's hashtag 77WABCBTB, back the blue, and let the world know that you back the blue. That's WABCradio.com/pin for a free 77WABC back the blue pin and join 77WABC in showing your support for our police, those two heroes.
So we're back to you can fly a thin blue line flag and you will not be called a bigot. Like you were, say, a year ago,
yeah,
a year and a half ago?
So what? For a day. I remember very vividly, and so do you, Byrne, after 9/11, for about 2 weeks, everybody loved the cops. Everybody loved the firefighters. They loved them. It took about 2 weeks. They were back to being no good. And, you know, so it'll be the same thing with this. These poor guys, heroes, died, even though there's millions of these folks, maybe not millions, hundreds of thousands of these men and women that put their lives on line every day. Nobody cares. So, I mean, these people don't care. They're bad people. So, yeah, they'll cry for a day like Jumaane Williams and Letitia James. And in a week, they're not going to care anymore.
Well, yeah, no, that is a cynical viewpoint on the part of Sid Rosenberg. I take a more optimistic view. I think the tide is turning. I think it's turning back towards law and order, police, appreciation.
You're nuts.
I know. I may be very naive, Pollyannish.
You're not naive. You know better. You're just hoping.
Maybe I'm just hopeful, but I kind of feel it. I kind of feel that even the general public, you see, a lot of people interviewed up in Harlem after these police officers were shot.
Sure.
And, they realized that those police that were there.
Yeah. One African-American guy holds up some store and gets shot dead by the cops, and they'll set this city on fire in a matter of 15 seconds. They will forget about Rivera and Mora in 15 seconds.
I hear what you're saying, and you may be right. You're probably right, but I maintain that the tide is turning somewhat.
Let's hope so.
I really do.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Hey, I did see something yesterday. You know, I'm always talking about ratings on this show, and people don't like it, and that's fine. That's the old school Howard Stern, Don Imus, Neil Rogers stuff. And long story short, I did see yesterday the 12-plus ratings over the last couple of months. This is not a joke. I don't care what anybody tweets. I don't care what the New York Post writes. I saw the ratings, 12-plus. We are kicking the crap out of Boomer and Geo at FAN for months. We are destroying, not beating, destroying Len Berman and who's the guy who writes the
Michael Riedel.
Oh, they're not even competing.
No.
The other one, that NYC station, the NPR station,
right.
They're not even close. And by the way, we beat the living daylights the last 2 months out of AM/CBS. The only station that competes with us, and quite frankly, I'll be honest, especially on snow days, they beat us, is 10-10 wins. Otherwise, FAN, CBS, all these stations, 12-plus, they are in Bernie and Sid's rearview mirror. So,
wow.
I saw it. I saw that. I was sitting there, and it was shown to me the last couple of months, and I was like, wow, this is for real. For real.
You get some raw, unvarnished truth and passion right here on the Bernie and Sid show. And the rest of the station, Truth, WABC, all the credit and all the praise to John Catsimatidis, to Chad Lopez, to everybody, to Matt Meany, everybody here who's working on this station, and all the talent that we have, Greg Kelly, terrific, Rudy Giuliani, again, Cats at Night, James Golden. It really is incredible.
Bill O'Reilly, yeah.
Yeah, big bad Bill O'Reilly.
And, of course, you cannot not include Justin Ellick.
Oh, no doubt. Justin Ellick is a major, a huge. I got to tell you something. That kid, I respect the hell out of him.
So
he works hard.
I love him.
I ask him for, whatever, it's ready for me the next morning. It is there.
The feeling's mutual.
Our whole cast, from Justin Ellick to Luke Lograno to Mike Garcia to Frankie, Christina, Gabby. I mean, we are very lucky, and they have assembled an all-star team around me and Bernie, Hall of Famers. Now you got all-star team around us, and that is part of the reason why, with all the other talent Bernie just mentioned, that, again, this is fact. This is fact. We beat everybody in this city every morning.
I like what I hear. I like what I hear. Hey, listen, Congressman Peter King, speaking of kings, Congressman Peter King, who we love dearly, he's coming up in a little bit.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
That he does. Back here on the Bernie and Sid show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Download that app, folks. Also heard out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And live stream us on your smart TVs, your computers, at WABCradio.tv. Right now, we are joined by a man who served honorably, served our country, served Long Island very, very honorably as a congressman for years and years. He's retired now. He's now a colleague of ours here on 77 WABC. Every Wednesday morning at this time, we bring him in, and we're honored again to have Congressman Peter King join the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning, Congressman King.
Good morning, Bernie. Thanks for the intro. It's great to have you back. And how are you putting up with Sid? How's he doing, do you think?
He's doing great. I love Sidney.
Don't worry about him, you know?
Love him to pieces. He's one of a kind. I really do.
That's true. That is true. He's great.
Hey, listen, Congressman, there's so much that I want to get your take on nationally, locally. But I guess we should start off locally. The other officer who was shot Over the weekend, Officer Mora, he died. He passed away. Coincidentally, yesterday at the same time, Eric Adams laid out his blueprint to end what he calls gun violence, which I hate the term, by the way. It's not gun violence. Guns are not killing people. People are killing people. But either way, I want to get your overall thoughts on that, on this whole situation here in New York City, because it is also national news as well. Congressman King, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely tragic, and yet it was really foreseeable. Going back to the riots of the summer of 2020, when you had leading politicians and people in the media and the NFL and everyone else somehow taking the side of Black Lives Matter against cops, using one tragic incident in Minneapolis or out in Minnesota to justify throwing Molotov cocktails and bricks and baseball bats at cops in Brooklyn and Manhattan, trying to burn down Manhattan. That really set the tone. It set the tone that it was okay to be anti-cop. That was going to be the hysteria. We were going to give in to the left-wing radicals, Black Lives Matter, give in to Antifa. And, you know, the other night, I mean, I tried to avoid watching the NFL at all costs, but I saw a game and there's some end racism banners on the back of the helmets. Just think if somebody put on that they back the blue or they support the cops 2 weeks ago, they probably would have been thrown out of the NFL. But now everyone is loving the cops. The cops should be loved all the time. And Eric Adams, and again, I hope his plan works, and I've had some hope for him from the start, like you had, Bernie, and like Bo has. And if he stays on this, it's one thing. But again, like when he says he's not going to go back to the bad old days. Well, the bad old days were Bill Bratton and Ray Kelly, where we reduced murders in the African-American community and everywhere by 80%, 85%. That's what made the streets safe. And he says he's not going to be targeting people because of race. I don't think Bill Bratton and Ray Kelly ever targeted people because of race. They went where the crime was. And I know when Ray Kelly left office, I think at the end of 2013, after 12 years of stop and frisk, after 12 years of that, his rating in the minority communities was almost 70%, his favorable rating. So I just I hope Eric Adams puts the anti-crime unit back in the street, let them do their job, and the test is going to come when there's the first incident at a bodega or a subway station, and some bad guy gets shot, and somebody says that the cop shot him for no reason, and you have demonstrations, and Al Sharpton starts marching around, and you have Antifa getting going, you have Jamani Williams and Tish James and all of them. That's when it's going to be up to Mayor Adams. Which I think he wants to. I hope he does. And if he stands strong, then that'll send a signal. Because otherwise, if you're a cop and you were asked to go in this unit, will you go there now, not knowing whether or not they're going to have your back?
Right.
Listen, I told you guys, I think Keyshawn Sewell is going to be a great, great police commissioner. I thought her statement last Friday night was outstanding. I know people have talked to her every day, and they also swear by her. But again, you have to have the mayor, and he's going to have to take on the city council. He's going to have to take on the speaker. And when you talk about how tough it's going to be because there's so many illegal guns, well, the fact is when Rudy Giuliani became mayor, there were 2 million illegal guns in New York City, and yet he progressively went out. They went after the guys with the guns, and it's not just that you're getting the guns off the street. What you do is you're getting the people off the street that use the guns, and the guys who have the guns are afraid to come out because they know they're going to get bagged and they're going to end up in jail. So that's what you have to do is stand by the cops. This is not, listen, I'm not trying to minimize it at all, but there is a formula. It worked under Ray Kelly. It worked under Bill Bratton. Worked under Rudy Giuliani and Mike Bloomberg. And that's to stand with the cops. And see, one thing I disagree with, you were saying before that it is a short honeymoon for the cops and people go against them.
Yep.
Actually, you go back to a good times during the good years during Ray Kelly and Mike Bloomberg, and cops were pretty popular. I mean, it was really what turned it around. And I don't think it was even the public. It was just this giving in to these loud voices screaming and yelling during the whole George Floyd matter. And, I mean, you think night after night when I remember in Brooklyn when they threw Molotov cocktails at a cop, and the next day Governor Cuomo was on television saying he's proud to stand with the supporters. You had people desecrating St. Patrick's Cathedral, and the district attorney, Cy Vance, said he wouldn't even prosecute them.
Disgusting.
We have to change that whole tone.
No, we do. But when you say you disagree with me, and again, you've been around longer than I have, and you're smarter than me.
Way. I'm just saying.
No, it's fair.
I think New York is basically basically a very good people, but you have to have good leadership.
I mean, it's fine. Look, it's not the same as it was, though, because you do have social media. You know, when Ray Kelly and these guys were there, you didn't have 9,000 million people on Twitter yelling and screaming how bad the cops are. You didn't have 90 cable stations on every single day telling us how bad the cops are. So why I think it's less likely you return to that today than 20 years ago is there are too many forces against you. And I know that after a day like we had last Friday, it's very easy to come out and shed a tear. And if you're Alvin Bragg or Eric Adams, say the right things. But between social media and the amount of media out there that really goes against what we believe in every single day, it's not like it was, Peter King, 20 years ago. It just isn't.
Yeah, I just think, though, that the voices on social media are very loud. And I think that the average New Yorker, if they're given the opportunity, if they're given the leadership, I think they will stand up and basically support the cops. I agree with you. I mean, it is a different world because of social media and because the media itself, the mainstream media, has gone so far to the left. But what he has to do with Mayor Adams, listen, he's a tough guy. He got where he is. He's had a rough career, and he's made it. So I give him tremendous credit for that. But when the people like the Giovanni Williams of the world and Tish James, and we go through the whole list of them, when they start carrying on, he's going to have to stand tough. Like already, I mean, the next day, when Giovanni Williams was there on Friday night, he was almost in tears, how terrible it is. The cops every day, they risk their lives for us. And then 2 days later, he's saying we can't go back to the days, basically, I'm paraphrasing, cops are targeting African Americans.
Right.
I mean, so no, those people are useless, they're hopeless, and you got to stand up to them.
Absolutely right, Congressman Peter King. And the tide, again, turning maybe because 11-month-old girls getting shot in the face. I mean, even people in the inner city are like, enough of this madness. Let's crack down. Let's stop coddling the criminals. I think even they're experiencing this epiphany as well. I certainly hope so, Congressman Peter King. But I'd like to segue in the remaining minutes that we have to national news. Now, we have this. Most people don't care about the Ukraine. Most people don't care. But if you have this administration, because they want to distract from inflation, the supply chain, crime, et cetera, whatever, if they're actually trying to push us into some sort of hostility with Putin, I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. What do we care about the territorial integrity of the border of Ukraine while we don't even care about our own border down here in the southern border down in Texas, Arizona, California, et cetera? Give us your top-line thoughts on all that nonsense.
Yeah, sure. First of all, my first thought is that we wouldn't be in this situation if Joe Biden had shown leadership. If he hadn't caved in Afghanistan the way he did, that horrible withdrawal where Americans are getting killed, being abandoned, fleeing from the rooftop of the embassy, that was absolutely disgraced. Other leaders see weakness. All the way he's going back and was begging Iran to allow us to go back into this nuclear treaty, which only helps Iran, and the way, uncertainty that's creating. Now, here's why I think Ukraine is important. We should not get involved in a shooting war, let me say that, is that right now you have Russia and China are taking advantage of what they see as American weakness. China is expanding everywhere, including in Latin America, in Europe, in Africa, economically. They're expanding throughout the Pacific. Now you have, there had been for years, this division between Russia and China. Russia and China are now working together. And you see what they're doing in Europe by Joe Biden, cutting down our pipeline, shutting down our pipelines, but allowing Russia to go ahead with its pipeline. Now, Europe is going to be depending on Russia for energy. So they can slowly but surely establish a economic stranglehold. And that, again, could lead to more military confrontation where we'd be the weaker party. So why I think it's important that we send a message in Ukraine is to reestablish ourselves. We're not going to allow Russia and China to slowly advance both militarily and economically. Because right now, if you were an ally, just like I'm saying, if you were a cop and you feel secure that the department's going to stand behind you, I'm saying if you're an American ally, are you willing to risk the future of your country based on the word of Joe Biden? Listen, under Donald Trump, who was America first, did not want to get involved in foreign activities, foreign wars, the fact is nobody moved on us, because they knew that he would take whatever actually had to if he was pushed. And so that's why Russia did nothing. Donald Trump was supposed to be the agent with Putin. The fact is he did more against Putin than Obama ever did. Russia didn't advance one inch threaten one bit when Donald Trump was in office. And we go down the line. You had the Arab states actually signing up with Israel. So to me, the way to to maintain peace and not go to war is to have a strong defense and make it clear that our word means something. And so that's why I think we have to send supplies to Ukraine. We have to make it clear that countries like Poland and others are not going to be engulfed again by Russia. And again, I don't see a shooting wall with Russia against those countries, but they're encroaching, they're encroached, and economically they can create a stranglehold. I mean, right now Germany is doing nothing for us as far as Ukraine. Why? Because they depend almost totally now on Russia for energy, and that's because Joe Biden cut off America's energy independence, and he allowed Russia to become a dominant economic force. So that's how things are tied together. But no, I don't believe we should have American soldiers fighting in Ukraine.
Our final 60 seconds, Peter. You're a worldly guy. You're great. Your opinions on really everything matter, and you're a big sports fan like me and Bernard. I think it's ridiculous. I don't want to hear about steroids. I think it's ridiculous that Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez are not in the Hall of Fame. They are three of the greatest players ever. In fact, in my lifetime, Barry Bonds is the best player I've ever seen. They walked this guy with the bases loaded because they'd rather give up one run than four. How is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? What are your thoughts, Peter King?
Yeah, I'm not trying to talk it. I was actually talking to a former major leaguer yesterday who was totally opposed to those guys ever going in the Hall of Fame. Then you talk to others. I would think that probably after a few more years, start letting him in one by one. And also, the irony is, guys like Bonds and Clemens, long before steroids even came around, those guys had Hall of Fame
I'm
careers.
I'm glad you said that. I mean, Bonds was an MVP with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He looked like Chris Rock.
Yeah, no, I mean, those guys, and, you know, Roger Clemens, except they collapsed in the seventh game of the 86 World Series.
Yep.
The sixth game of the 86 World Series. Yep. No, he was a dominant pitcher before steroids were ever, you know, really in use. So I think they should maybe even have some kind of a separate category. And to me, the worst defender is a guy like A-Rod who kept getting caught year after year.
stupid.
I don't know what's going on with that guy.
He's just stupid, yeah.
I don't know, maybe Jennifer Lopez was mad at him.
Yeah. Hey, long before he, you know, killed two people, O.J. Simpson was a great football player.
He was. Let's not forget, he was, I think he was the first 2,000-yard rusher in the history of the game with the Buffalo Bills. Hey, Pete, as always, an amazing, amazing appearance. Thank you so much for coming here every Wednesday and being our friend, and we love you.
We love you to pieces.
Oh, thank you. And let's keep those two police officers in our prayers and all the cops, all 35,000 of them.
Well said. Again, Rivera, his funeral coming up on Friday at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And we found out this morning that Wilbert Mora, his funeral is coming up on Wednesday. We're about halfway through. Still lots more to do. Andrew Giuliani running for governor on the Republican ticket. He will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Ann Donnelly, the new DA on Long Island. She's all about putting bad guys in jail. She'll join us at 9:25. Lydia reports, beat Bernie, your phone calls, and more. Bernie and Sid on a Wednesday.
I've been searching a long time, someone exactly like you. I've been traveling all around the world, waiting for you to come through. Someone like you, make it all worthwhile. Someone like you, keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like you.
The great Van Morrison, Someone Like You, as we start hour number three, the 8 o'clock hour, the second half of today's hump day edition of Bernie and Sid in the Morning. That one has to remind you, Bernie, of the I-Man, yeah?
Well, yeah, of course, Van Morrison, sort of a friend, an associate of Mr. Imus.
He was.
They went back and forth.
Like Van everybody Morrison, else, it got ugly in the end.
Van, a cranky, and Mr. Imus as well, two cranky individuals. And, they clashed towards the end. But, he was a frequent guest, Van Morrison was. But his music, terrific. Witness the song you just played and all the upbeat songs. The songs of our youth, Sydney.
Yes, Brown Eyed Girl and all that good stuff. Yeah. Lydia Reports is coming up next at 8:25. We'll talk to Republican gubernatorial hopeful Andrew Giuliani, Rudy's son, coming up at 8:40. The new DA out on Long Island, We like this lady a lot, Ann Donnelly. In fact, she won because of us. She's coming up at 9:25. Then we'll play Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. And as Bernie pointed out, all month long, January is a month of Mondays. The weather is brutal. It's depressing. It's sunny today, but for the most part, it's gloomy. It's cold. It ain't no fun. And when you compound that with the amount of crime we've seen this month in New York City, and now the second officer confirmed what I told you yesterday morning, Wilbert Mora did in fact pass away. Now we've got two funerals coming up on Friday, Mr. Rivera's funeral at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and then next Wednesday, a week from today, Mr. Mora's funeral. So we've got two cops now that are gone. And yet, what's this lady's name? Kristen, I have to call her out again. Kristen
Richardson Jordan.
Yeah, this is a New York City councilwoman who, by the way, is not a white supremacist. And she found in her heart this dingbat. She found in her heart enough room to sympathize with Rivera. I get that. To sympathize with Mora. I get that. And this animal, McNeil, who gunned these two innocent officers down. I have no patience for people like her. I don't want to hear it. That she's got to find a way to sympathize with the killer? What am I missing, Bernie?
The family of the killer.
I don't care who it is.
No, I agree with you. Listen, you can separate the two. Do not put both of them in the same tweet. If you want to say, hey, I'm sorry to the family, you had a crazy, a psycho kid who did something terrible, put that in a separate tweet. Do not put it in the same tweet of the families of the slain cops. It is completely and totally a different animal issue, whatever it is. It really is a slap in the face, and it shows her true sentiments, really, is what it is. She's reluctantly paying tribute to the families or condolences to the families of the slain officers.
That's how I feel. I feel like she had to do that, so she did it. But she'd much rather, I think she's probably crying more over McNeil and what his mother is going through than the officers. I really believe that. Sure, I feel that way, Bernie.
I agree with you. No, it's gross. And listen, this is where, again, this is a special circumstance. We pull no punches right now. Eric Adams and more prominent people, call her out. Call her and everybody else out. I see on the front page of the New York Post, which is heartbreaking, a cop's crying over the death of Officer Mora.
Yeah.
You have Michael Goodwin, the front page headline, they actually allude to it. Michael Goodwin, a despicable Albany polls do nothing. And again, that goes to my point. Eric Adams, call out the state legislature.
But this goes to my point. When you say, and even Peter King agreed with you, you feel like maybe there's a change in tide here. I don't. You know what I'll start to feel like there's a change in tide? To Eric Adams' credit, okay, I'll give him some credit today. Not because he wants to sit down and improve stuff, because I do too. But he did make a call to Albany yesterday because he wants to reform criminal bail reform. So I got to give Eric Adams credit for that. When that happens, when I start to see stuff like that happening, then I'll say, yeah, maybe the tide is turning. I don't care what people say on the news, what they say in the papers. When I see Jumaane Williams crying and I see Letitia James crying, that's not turning the tide. That means nothing, because a week later they forget about it. When I start to see legislation, when I see laws change that respect the people and the police and not the criminals, then I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Bernie, and say maybe you're right.
And to affect that, I believe, because The fact of the matter is this: the leader in the state assembly, Carl Heastie, the leader of the state senate, Andrea Stewart Cousins, they won't bring this to a vote. That's the problem. That's why they should be called out by name. By name, what are you doing? Look at our city. They have to actually bring it to the floor and allow a vote. They won't do it. They're dug in. They want this policy. And that's why they should be named and shamed. And again, he is the media darling. He's got the bully pulpit. It's time to call people out by name. And I'll take it even further. Every time you have a lenient judge who releases some mutt who is a repeat offender, you release him on some really low bail or no bail, and you could have you know, held him on a higher bail, if the law doesn't apply in that case, call him out by name.
Yep.
By name, and shame them, and show some passion, show some anger. This is no joke anymore. This is. I mean, the tide has turned, but we have to employ some new tactics. And these are individuals with blood on their hands, and they no more anonymity for them. Call them out by name.
Well, you just said the right word, anger. And I've said this a million times over the years. I used to get so frustrated with Barack Obama. There'd be a terrorist attack, Americans killed at an airport in Brussels, or, you know, Americans killed at a Christmas party in California. He was never angry. He was always sympathetic towards the Muslim people. And yeah. You remember this, Bernie? He was the most apologetic, feckless leader we've ever had, including Joe Biden. And he was never angry.
No,
and I hated that about him. Like, get effing pissed.
He was apathetic,
right,
is what he was. And it was all like, you know, a news story. And, yeah, it was
right.
Tragic. And it's,
exactly.
I'm sorry. And we move on.
And don't blame your neighbor. So now when two beautiful young cops get gunned down in the street, if you can't get pissed over that, what's going to tick you off? What's
exactly
going to make you angry?
I want to see spittle flying out of your mouth.
Like I just did. You just spittle, yeah, right now on our television show.
That's exactly what I want to see. That's exactly the way I feel. That's exactly the way a lot of people feel. And we want that reflected in our leaders because they represent us. We want to hear it from them. We want to hear people who can affect change and who are being listened to right now. And again, they're in high demand on all the television shows. People are actually listening to them. You can make a difference. Now is the time, to display that anger, that passion, and get things done. Affect some change right now.
Although it may all be academic, it may mean nothing, because the truth is we're about to get involved in this war with Russia and the Ukraine, and we're all going to die anyway. So who cares what happens on the subways or in New York City once Russia drops the big bomb and wipes us out? Then it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, yeah, you know, it's we just talked to Congressman Peter King. Look, China is the issue. China's the problem. Again, you know, Russia and the Ukraine, they're cousins. Ukraine is not part of NATO. We have no business worrying about, again, the territorial integrity. As a matter of fact, if you think I'm making this up, I mean, these people have disdain for you, contempt. They think you're stupid. This is the Deputy National Security Advisor. His name is Jonathan Finer, Biden's guy on CNN yesterday. I mean, what he said, just listen to him and keep in mind our southern border where you have hordes of people coming in. And by the way, the majority of them now, just young adult males with no kids, no families, no women, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, listen to the Deputy National Security Advisor on CNN yesterday. Take a listen to this.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
Sovereignty at the borders. I mean, they say that with a straight face.
Unbelievable.
On the same day that you have this video of, again, hordes of people coming in, young adult males, and the idiot Kamala, she reiterated the same words that I mentioned a couple of days ago about the territorial integrity of borders. Listen to her.
The bottom line is that we have been clear and consistent for quite some time that we respect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, and we expect that Russia would do the same, and any aggressive action taken by Vladimir Putin will be met with severe consequences.
Shut up.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What does that even mean, severe consequences? What are we going to do?
And what do we care?
You and I don't care, but if they care, they act as if they do. They don't either. Don't kid yourself. Biden doesn't care. Kamala doesn't care. But if they're going to make that type of threat, it's going to be met with severe consequences. What are they going to do?
They're going to try to pressure Germany not to buy the oil that they allowed them to buy
in the past year. Right.
You know, they're going to pressure, but Germany doesn't care. The whole idea of NATO is to protect Europe, Eastern Europe, and of course Western Europe. That's the whole idea of NATO. And if they're going to do from Russia, from Russia.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do business with Russia, and Germany's like, you know, really, we don't care what if Russia has a minor or a major incursion into the Ukraine, which, by the way, they did. They took Crimea back in 2014 during the Obama administration. But Europe doesn't care. Nobody cares. Nobody. It's a civil war. It's just like, as I mentioned yesterday, it's like in the Middle East. It's the Sunnis versus the Shiites. We have no business being there. Forget Russia is the economy is a, smaller than the size of the economy of Texas. They're not a threat. We have to focus on China. And that's the bottom line. This is a distraction, if you ask me, from the inflation, from the crime, from all kinds of disasters, supply chain disasters, poll numbers. This is what it is, and it really is gross, disgusting, and there's the law of unintended consequences. You start getting involved in the middle of hostilities between two people that we really don't give a rat's ass about. And by the way, Joe Biden's crackhead son received millions of dollars from the Ukraine, who, that's the country we're siding with. I mean, is nobody going to mention this? I mean, this is a conflict of interest. Is nobody going to bring that fact up?
Well, we did. But who else are you looking for to do it? I'm curious.
Anybody. How about Republicans? How about Republicans who are half of the Republican Party is warmongering as well?
Well, that's why, you know, there's a couple of guys that are honest about this. And they hold Republicans accountable for the lack of success. I mean, here we are yelling and screaming, vote Republican, vote Republican. You get guys like Mitch McConnell and years ago guys like Paul Ryan. And you can't vote for those guys either. And you're right. They don't make a big deal. Mitt Romney's another one. They don't make a big deal about these types of things. And they should be. They should be yelling and screaming this from the damn rooftops.
They really should. No, it's gross. Have we learned nothing? I mean, getting involved in foreign entanglements, we were warned about that back in, 1800, for God's sakes. I think Thomas Jefferson brought it up. It's just, and then, of course, you have Afghanistan. Have we learned nothing from that? Have we learned nothing from the war in Iraq? Have we learned nothing from the war in Vietnam?
Vietnam, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, it's got to be some sort of imminent threat to us, the United States and Americans. It really has to be for us to put our money on the line and to put our, you know, best and brightest, our treasure, our young men's blood on the line, and women to some extent. It has to be that. Short of that, stay the hell out of it.
So 30 seconds before we break for Lydia Reports and Andrew Giuliani. Great hour. More Americans care about what's going on between Ukraine and Russia or the fact that Sean Payton stepped down as the Saints head football coach.
Oh, it's the latter. There's no doubt about it. More Americans probably do. I mean, they're not really paying attention to the Ukraine thing.
Yeah.
But they should because, you know, look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. I mean, it leads to bad things. But that's funny. Sean Payton stepped down. I mean,
major news, Bernard. Major.
Huge news. There's got to be some scandal involved there.
I think he's just bored. 16 years in Orleans is a long time on Bourbon Street. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. As I just mentioned, Lydia Serrani, Lydia Reports, always terrific. She's coming up next. Gubernatorial candidate Andrew Giuliani, Rudy's kid. He's coming up at 8:40. We'll talk to Ann Donnelly, the new DA out on Long Island. She's coming up at 9:25. And then Beat Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card. Compliments of our dear friend Pete Morgan at Peerless Boilers. That's coming up at 9:40. A lot of excitement left. This, the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
How are you guys?
Hey now.
Terrific,
the reunion
Lydia.
Was
How
pretty good.
You?
Good. I was watching the Vanderpump Rules reunion. It was actually, I couldn't even watch the whole season. I'm very upset about Stassi getting the boot and Kristen.
And Jax.
Very upsetting. Yeah. Jax is a maniac.
It was good, though. I enjoyed it, too. I'm glad you're watching it with me.
I need the junk. I need the junk when I get home because it's like you talk about this stuff all day long. It's so depressing what's going on. So Mayor Eric Adams, he's saying all the right things, right? He wants to get New York City safe again. He wants to reform the bail reform law. Right now, New York State is the only state in the country that doesn't allow judges to use their brains to keep violent felons behind bars. Because right now, because of the stupid bail reform law, most crimes are not even eligible for bail, including violent felonies. Had that guy that killed the girl at the Burger King in Harlem. On November 30th, he menaced a guy at a homeless shelter with a screwdriver. Just a few weeks prior, he did it with a knife, and he was just released. That's the bail reform law. So because of the bail reform law, that girl now up in Harlem is dead. And a 19-year-old beautiful girl. We've been seeing these incidents over and over. You've got that woman that was shoved in front of the train. That guy, too, had been arrested multiple times. The homeless guy thinks he's God, insane, pushed her, killed her. So you would think the legislators would say, OK, now you got Mayor Eric Adams, 22 years on the force. He's also a black guy. He's also a Democrat. He's on our side. Maybe we should listen to him. Maybe we should revisit the bail reform law. Oh, no. Oh, no. Take a listen to here. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. She's of Yonkers. She's that woman that's always wearing like the scarf. And also the Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie. The both of them say they're not budging. And so Stewart-Cousins, she was interviewed by this Albany reporter, which is very, very weak interview. But I cut a little portion. Take a listen to hear what she said about bail reform.
Our bail reform laws are certainly not responsible for a spike in crime across the country. We did this reform not because we woke up one morning and decided it was a good thing to do and, oh, we did A, let's do B. We did it because it has long been recorded that there has been an extreme disparity in the treatment of people in the criminal justice system who are poor, who are black, who are brown. The reality is the data has started to come in, and they are saying that 98% of the people who are out without bail are not committing another violent crime.
See what I'm saying, Bernie?
What an ostrich with her head.
I'm saying that
Eric Adams has to call this lady out.
Okay, but
she's wrong.
Of course she's wrong.
She's lying. And the reporter didn't even say to her, who's the they? Where are you getting your facts from, lady? I mean, all you have to do is a simple Google search. The NYPD data shows that in the first 2 months bail reform was implemented, 482 people were arrested for a felony. All of those people were released thanks to the bail reform. Of those 482 people, they went on to commit almost 900 more crimes. So where is she getting this 98% don't recommit? I mean, any kind of crime. She is a compulsive liar.
Yeah. Well, I never said these people were honest. All I'm saying is I'd be careful when you start saying things like the tide is turning, people are starting to figure it out, things are going to change. They're dug in. They are dug in. And I don't think the public is all that different. I think they cry when bad stuff happens and they return to their psycho corner when it's all over. And that is the evidence right there. There's a lady that can change things overnight who is even more adamant than ever that this thing is working.
And by the way, certain bail laws needed reform, perhaps. There was some. I'll grant you, maybe there was some inequality.
Alice Johnson should not have gone to prison for 30 years.
Right, there you go. Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
And the Khalif Browder case. The kid with this backpack. That's
right.
The most egregious. You don't demonize an entire system like George Floyd with the police. Khalif Browder is that kid that stole a backpack. He wound up in Rikers for 3 years. He was in solitary confinement, committed suicide in 2015.
Listen,
that was egregious. That was horrific.
We're not talking about that.
There's
some validity to reforming the bail laws as they were a couple of years ago. At the very least, you have to give judges discretion when some animal shows up and he's repeatedly committing violent crimes. The judge has to have the discretion to say, you know what? I think that guy's going to go back out and victimize another human being. I am going to impose bail on that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you this, Bern, because you always ask this question. That's a great question. Do you trust? How many times do you think, whether you're talking about Biden or Harris, any Democrat leader, how many times have you said to the audience, Bernie, in the last couple of months, do you trust? I'll ask you this. Do you trust these judges, these liberal judges, a lot of them Jewish people like me? Do you trust them?
No, not all of them. Hardly. And again, I've named and shamed these judges in the past. The Dennis Boyle guy up in the Bronx Supreme Court. I've named and shamed them, but still, you have to allow. Some of the judges have said in the past, there was nothing I could do. The law dictated, mandated that I release this guy. I wanted to keep him. I wanted to impose bail. I couldn't do it because of the law coming out of the state legislature. Now, regarding the state legislature, both Cousins and the leader of the assembly, Carl Hastie, they won't allow this to come up for a vote. So these two right. people are directly responsible for these horrific, deadly, bloody, no cash bail laws that lead directly, again, to that girl in Harlem who's working overnight at a Burger King, the beautiful Latina lady, and she's dead now. And that's why Eric Adams needs to name and call them out. That's the only thing that's going to work, is calling them out by name and associating them, put them as the face of the murderers, with alongside the murderers of people like that lady in the Burger King.
Absolutely. And just like the business leaders and so many other lawmakers, they targeted Alvin Bragg. They spoke out and they said, your 10-page manifesto where you said you're not even going to prosecute armed robberies or resisting arrests and crimes against police is outrageous. And he walked it back. I mean, do I believe him? I hope so. But he walked it back because he saw he had no way out. Bingo. And that's what needs to be done to Hastie. That's what needs to be done to Stuart Cousins. The fact that they won't even put it up for a vote. And they're both African-American, which is astounding to me because the majority of victims, if almost all of them, are people of color. So this bail reform law is hurting the very communities they're claiming to protect. We know that the majority of New Yorkers are good law-abiding people, but it's that minority criminal element. Minority, I'm not talking about the color of their skin. I'm saying it's a minority portion of the population that commits the crime and recommits the crime over and over again. And we need to help hold those people accountable and put them away. And we need to hold our lawmakers accountable and call them out, like you said, Bernie, and said that's what we need to do.
All right, Lydia, thank you as always. That's a great report. Anybody big coming up later on today at 5?
I have no idea who's going to be on. Okay. This beautiful orchestra that plays. You know, Sid, somebody was saying on the Frank Morano fans and haters page, who kisses John Katzmatidis' butt more, me or you? There was a contest. I don't know if you know about it.
No, I don't know anything about it. I don't kiss the man's ass. I state the facts. And the facts are that he's done a miraculous job saving
Thank
this
you.
Station. He puts on every weekday. He puts on a great show every Sunday morning. Well, you beat me because you sit with him every day.
No, they said I kiss his butt more. I'm not kissing anybody's butt. Anybody who knows me knows I tell it like it is. I'm just stating the facts. The guy has tripled the ratings. He brought this station back from the dead. We have the number one show at 5 o'clock. We are making a change
facts.
In the world. These are facts. So if that's kissing his butt, then...
Hey,
you're like,
French,
I'm going to keep on doing it. Let's make
French,
out.
We should French kiss his butt.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
man is
That's
done.
Exactly.
You know, I don't care. I don't listen to those people. I don't care. It means nothing to me. So.
But I am very proud to be on the John Katzmatidis show, 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, number one show. And it's newsmakers from around the world, not just the country, from around the world. Everything you need to know will be in that one-hour show, 5 o'clock, John Katzmatidis.
Right, thank you. You can follow Lydia, by the way, on Instagram, at Lydia News 1, on Twitter, at Lydia News. Still to come right after we do these updates, which Bernie's going to tell you about momentarily. Republican candidate for governor, Andrew Giuliani. You can say a lot of things about Bernie and Sid, but you can't say we're not fair. About 2 weeks ago, Rob Astorino was on this show. He's running for governor on the Republican side. Yesterday, Lee Zeldin was on this show. He's running for governor on the Republican side. And now, right now, joining us, good friend of ours, and of course, his father, is a dear, dear friend of both me and Bernie for many, many years, the great Rudy Giuliani, heard every weekday on this station at 3 p.m., the apple did not fall far from the tree, we'll tell you that. His son, Andrew Giuliani, running for governor, joins us again right now on this Wednesday morning. Andrew, Sid, and Bernie, welcome back, pal. How are you?
Andrew! Bernie, Sid, thank you so much for having me. You know, look, my heart is heavy right now for the Mora family, the Mora and Rivera families. To think about this tragedy, you know, I grew up with cops, right? I mean, you think about it. When I had a protective detail on me, I had two cops with me all the time, and Those guys I considered my uncles. One was my confirmation sponsor. I understand just how important our police are to our community, and I understand also the fantastic lies that we've been told about our police over the last few years and what it's doing, not just to the police force, but obviously what it's doing to crime all around our city and all around our state.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And you talk about your detail growing up, Andrew. And again, not that Lee Zeldin doesn't love the police or Astorino or any other. But you, not only did you grow up with it around you, but, I mean, we're not that far removed, 20-something years, from your father going to countless funerals for officers that died in those buildings on 9/11. Now we've got a funeral for Rivera coming up on Friday, a funeral for Mora coming up on Wednesday. So you, Andrew, grew up in a household where going to funerals for cops, unfortunately, was something you guys did quite often.
Yeah, well, you know, look, it came back, I really think, from when my father was young. You know, he had five uncles who were police officers, including his, who I know he's talked about on the radio show before, including his hero, Rudy Giuliani, who actually, on his last couple weeks on the job, pulled somebody down from the Brooklyn Bridge. This is back in the 1960s before. And his commanding officer, actually, toward the end of the job, was actually a one Ray Kelly. So you talk about how
close
the WABC family is in terms of everything here. But, you know, look, I was listening a little bit before to John Catsimatidis' interview, Mayor Adams. And the one thing that I would say in listening to what Mayor Adams said, he said we need to tweak bail reform. Well, I would completely disagree, Bernie and Sid. I would say we need to blow up bail reform, because if you look at crime around this state and you overlay it with when bail reform came into place, it has just completely spiked. It started spiking under de Blasio, certainly. But once bail reform came into place, it just went out of control. And this is not just only in New York City. This is why Rochester had the most murders ever in recorded history. It's why Buffalo saw a massive spike in violent crime. The same thing with Albany.
Well, you're right about that, Andrew Giuliani. And the timeline, of course, is that that bail reform law was implemented January 1st of 2020. And we know that same year, the George Floyd incident, and the overreaction, the really way hysterical overreaction to the death of George Floyd, when the cop was arrested that day and faced the death penalty, and all these things, the Black Lives Matter, the demonization of police officers unfairly, all of them put together has led to this atmosphere of lawlessness, other things as well. But there's one question I do want to ask you about Andrew Giuliani, who's running for governor in the state of New York on the Bernie and Sid show, is something we discussed with Congressman Peter King. Eric Adams says he's putting together, he outlined his blueprint for ending gun violence. But one of the things he said about the anti-crime unit, he says we're not going back to the bad old days of the way the anti-crime unit was. Well, the bad old days were the good old days. That anti-crime unit was very, very effective. He's implying that it was racist, and it was your dad who was in charge at the time. Your dad, Bill Bratton, Ray Kelly, as you mentioned, and to a lesser extent, Mike Bloomberg. What do you think of his sort of tepid re-implementation of this anti-crime unit?
Well, it's playing politics, right? He's placating the left in saying that. But I think the numbers don't lie, right? I mean, take a look and look at the murder rate in the early 90s. And when you were at 2,200 murders a year in New York, if you get by the end of the Giuliani administration in New York by 2001, that number is under 600 murders, which actually continued to go down even into the first couple of years of de Blasio. I think it valued out at 289. Now, if you look at the amount of African-American and Hispanic-American New Yorkers that were murdered, every single year, it's somewhere between 65% and 75%. So you think about how many more African-American New Yorkers, Hispanic-American New Yorkers have their lives now because of those policies.
Yep.
So the truth is, he may be placating the most radical people in his party.
Yes.
But honestly, if we want to see crime come back down the way that it needs to in New York, if we want to see businesses actually decide to stay here and grow here, then we're going to have a mayor who's not just going to placate the most radical people in their party, but it's actually going to look and say, you know what, the NYPD is the best law enforcement organization, not just in the country, but in the world, and we need to use them if we want to keep our citizens safe.
Well, you just said it. I mean, and I've been saying this for months. I am maybe more vociferous than anybody. Maybe Greg Kelly's the only other guy that that's all he does is placate. Now I want to send an olive branch, or reach the olive branch out to Eric Adams and fix the relationship between him and me and me and Bernie. But the truth is, that's all he does is placate. So now that becomes a big question here. For example, your father, when he was mayor, he had a deal with Governor Pataki. Everybody knows they didn't like each other all that much. But guess what? 9/11 happened, things happened, and they found a way, two adults, your dad and Pataki, to get along, and they were great together. The two morons that just left office, de Blasio and Cuomo, they could never do it. So if Andrew Giuliani was to win the gubernatorial next year, what would your relationship be like, because it's important, with the mayor, Eric Adams?
Well, I certainly on day one would work to repeal bail reform and give the mayor.
But what if he says no? What if he says, I don't want to do that?
Well, it's coming out of the state right there. So, I mean, obviously he can go and lobby the Assembly and the state Senate to do that. But I think considering he ended up promising, or I didn't say promising, but campaigning against bail reform and basically pointing to the state. I mean, recently he's pointed to the state and say, there's only so much I can do. The governor needs to actually work on repealing bail reform right there. So if he goes back on that, then it'd be pretty obvious, I think, to most New Yorkers that he truly is just playing politics at this point and speaking out of both sides of his mouth. But I think he's being also sandwiched on both sides of this. And what I mean by that is you got Governor Hochul, who 2 weeks ago during her State of the State speech, while she cursory mentioned crime probably about 20 minutes into the speech, never mentioned cashless bail or bail reform. I think it shows you how out of touch he is with the real problems that New Yorkers are facing. But then also, he's being sandwiched, obviously, by our new DA in Manhattan, and Alvin Bragg. So, I mean, the cops can arrest everybody over here that's going to commit a crime, but if you're not going to have somebody who's going to actually prosecute them and put them in jail for, and this is, we're not even talking about misdemeanors anymore, which, by the way, think about this, right? When you think about not prosecuting the misdemeanors, or at least, you know, going through the misdemeanors and going through that process there, what he basically is saying is we are going to do the exact opposite of broken windows theory, which is the theory, obviously, that was implemented in the 90s in New York, continued under Bloomberg, which saw crime drastically go down in New York City. But on top of that, on top of doing the exact opposite of broken windows, he's now saying, I'm not going to actually have armed robbery as long as it's not with a loaded gun. So that could be a knife, it could be a pipe, or resisting arrest prosecuted as felonies. I mean, think about that and what that's going to do to this city. So I would remove Alvin Bragg on day one. I think it's obvious he violated his oath of office. The governor has the right under Article 8, Section 13B of the New York State Constitution to do it, and he has, and I would do that.
Andrew Giuliani running for governor of the state of New York here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Andrew, presumably, if you do get the nomination, you will be running against this Kathy Hochul, who, by the way, appointed as her lieutenant governor, a guy who supported Black Lives Matter and called for defunding the police. Kathy Hochul appointed that guy also. And Eric Adams has done the same thing. She talks about a gun violence as though the guns are committing the crimes, as though the SUV mowed down those people in Waukesha, Wisconsin, when, of course, we know it was a person. Same thing with Kathy Hochul and the guns. It's people. It's not guns. I mean, we can try to stem the flow of guns, but it's a more immediate problem. It is individuals. What do you think of Kathy Hochul and her, you know, essentially pandering to the radical left on gun control?
You said it. She's pandering to the radical left because she wants to win a primary. That's it. She doesn't want to actually tackle the real issue that will see crime go down in New York. And as I said before, you could see it in her not even mentioning bail reform in her State of the State speech. I mean, crime was the seventh or eighth thing that she ended up mentioning. And she talked about it for, I don't even think, 90 seconds. It was just about a minute or so.
It's true.
So, you know, it shows you. I mean, everywhere that I go around the state, and I'm sure this is true with the congressman, and sure it's true with Rob, but the issues that New Yorkers always talk about, and it's good to kind of get a feel no matter where you are, but no matter where you are around the state, the three issues that New Yorkers are talking about now are, number one is crime. You're hearing about the economy and jobs. And you're also hearing about education. And then obviously the mandates over the last couple of months as well. But this is independent of whether you're talking to Republicans or Democrats. And look, that's why Eric Adams became the Democratic nominee for mayor, because they looked and they said, hey, this is one guy who's actually willing to acknowledge that crime is a problem in New York. Well, do something about it. I'm sick and tired of seeing our cops, unfortunately, having to go to St. Pat's and lay them to rest. It's enough of this stuff. And it's, you know, I know I'm emotional, but it's very, very close to my heart. And I'm done with this. Really,
you should be emotional. And you're sincere. You're a Giuliani. And Giuliani's love this city and love the cops. I mean that, Andrew. So, listen, we wish you the very, very, very best. We want you to keep coming back on this program. Keep talking. You're a strong voice. You're a tough kid. You're exactly what New York needs. So keep doing your talking out there and keep coming back, pal, and good luck. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Sid.
My man, Andrew Giuliani, right here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. He's an impressive kid. You got to say. I know Rudy's off brand. We love Rudy, but he's a very, very impressive kid. He's really tough. Is. He's tough. Yep. I'm going to say this at the risk of maybe upsetting my friend Lee Zeldin, who I'm endorsing Lee. Of the three, I think Andrew's the toughest. I do.
He's toughest.
Yes. Tough. Yes. Very tough guy.
Well, his mannerism may be, but the policies are essentially the same. Zeldin, Giuliani, Astorino.
Yeah.
And Astorino, let me, my guy, Astorino.
Are you endorsing Astorino? I mean, you got to come up. You know, Curtis Lee was sending me texts. Me and Rudy are on Andrew. You're on Zeldin. Who is Bernie endorsing? I said, I don't know.
I am reserving judge. I don't really have to endorse anybody.
Yes, you do.
But
you do.
I really love Andrew. Rob Astorino.
That's your guy.
He's got the chops. He's got the brains. He's got the toughness.
And there's your answer.
And I'll make an announcement maybe next week.
He has the least chance of winning, though, Astorino.
I don't believe that.
Of course he does.
Polls, there are no reliable polls.
The early polls have Giuliani in the lead, is what I'm hearing. You know who told me that?
Andrew.
Rudy. Rudy. Anyway, three great hours. One more great hour to come. Ann Donnelly and Beat Bernie. Google Does. Iris. On the way out.
Mother, tell your children not to look my way. Tell your children not to hear my words. What they mean,
what they say, mother. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen, download it. By the way, this kind of anger is what I want to hear from our elected leaders on crime, on cops getting killed. This kind of passion and anger, that's what I want. By the way, we're also heard out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And you can check us out. You can watch us on your smart TVs, on your computers at WABC. We're live streamed, WABCradio.tv. is what you can do. Listen, there are a couple of interesting items out there, non-political, really. I guess non-political. I want to get to in a second. But because they did the work, I really do want to play this, and we've been talking about it all morning. This plan of Eric Adams, his blueprint to end gun violence, sounds very, 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 very familiar. As a matter of fact, it sounds like the exact same plan that Bill de Blasio came up with back in April of last year. And if you listen, I mean, you know, first of all, you know, he has this listening tour. Remember that, Sidney, Hillary Clinton's listening tour?
I remember it well. I thought it was ridiculous back then. It's even more ridiculous now.
I mean, summer youth employment. I mean, we never did that before. Midnight basketball. Meet weekly with local leaders. Yeah. Demand accountability. What kind of nonsense, stupid words is that?
You know, that's why you said about the song coming back. You want to hear that type of anger. This one guy that I still like to hear him speak is Pat Lynch, you know, and I know that
exactly.
Adams came out and tweeted yesterday, Wilbert Moore is a hero. And again, I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what you tweet, what you cry about. Letitia, screw you. Jemani, screw you. Pat Lynch comes out, he means it. I like when that guy speaks, Bernie.
You are exactly 1,000% correct. I mean, he nails it. And again, the anger and the passion, which belongs there, is there with Mr. Lynch. So anyway, here's Justin Ellick, Mike Garcia, Luke Legrano. They put together this montage of Eric Adams from yesterday outlining his plan to end, quote-unquote, gun violence, as though the guns are committing the crimes. And Bill de Blasio's same plan from April of last year. And remember, this is April of last year. How did that work out? Where are we now? Anyway, take a listen to Adams and de Blasio and marvel. Go ahead.
We're going to involve every community, every precinct, and our state and federal partners.
This plan focuses on the three pieces that are crucial: our communities, our cops, and our courts.
We will start by putting more officers on patrol in key neighborhoods throughout the city,
ensuring that our cops are in the places we need them most intensely. So this is the top 100 blocks strategy.
My administration will launch an unprecedented summer youth employment, youth and youth engagement program for summer 2022. As we know that gang violence and gun crimes spike in the summer months.
The Summer Youth Anti-Violence Employment Effort. This has been an effort to ensure that young people who are at risk get opportunities for summer youth employment, get steered in the right direction.
Gun violence is a public health crisis, and it is one that must be addressed at every level of government.
Really?
We must see immediate action from Congress on guns.
We need the Congress to act on the issue of guns once and for all. We all see it with our eyes.
Okay, so that was de Blasio's plan back in April of 2021. How'd it work out? Where are we now? You hear Eric Adams mouthing the same words. Now, he talked about other things, putting more cops on patrol. Good thing, very good thing. He also talked about the anti-crime unit, but the way he talked about it, and we talked a little bit with Andrew Giuliani and also Congressman Peter King, the old anti-crime unit was very successful, saved black lives. Why mess with it? Why? What's the implication here is that there was something wrong with it, that it was racist.
Well, let me correct you, because now you've said twice implication. Let me correct you and remind you that there is no implication, that Eric Adams flat out said, when I win, I will return this city to the David Dinkins days because the tactics that Rudy Giuliani used were racist. That was a comment. You can look it up right now in the New York Post, in the New York Times. No implications. He flat out said that he wants to go back to the days of David Dinkins because Rudy Giuliani's tactics were racist.
Amazing. Saving tens of thousands of black lives is racist. Look. It's a very stop and frisk. It's a horrible thing to have to do, but sometimes it's necessary. And people who get stopped, they should understand. We're just trying to save kids, 11-month-old kids, from getting shot in the face. I mean, I'm sorry we have to do this, but, facts dictate, statistics dictate that we have to do this. Anyway.
Well, the problem here is look, Eric Adams, his heart is in the right place. Okay, look, I think you and I both agree. He spent over 20 years as a cop. He does care. De Blasio didn't care. De Blasio hated the police. He really did. He hated the police. And if a guy died, he had to do what he had to do. Adams does care. He was a cop. So I think his heart is in the right place. His issue is, and I'll tell us right to his face, if him and I ever really meet face to face, which he says is going to happen, right to his face. His issue is, and you just talked about it, so did Andrew Giuliani, he's so worried about appeasing everybody that he says things like he said about the anti-crime unit. But the difference is, him and de Blasio is an evil guy. I don't think Eric Adams is.
I don't think he's evil, but, he's a political animal. And to accuse Giuliani and Ray Kelly and Bill Bratton of racism, I think that's kind of despicable.
It is.
To be quite honest with you.
By the way, he also called Curtis Sliwa a racist.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Remember that?
Yes.
Remember that, yo?
Yeah.
So here he is talking about the new anti-crime unit that he's putting together in the next 3 weeks. Just take a listen to this.
We're going to make sure this is not the anti-crime unit of the days. These officers are going to wear identifiable parts of police attire and apparel, such as the windbreaker jackets, like you see other law enforcement agencies will wear. So you know who they are. The complaints we receive is that officers dressed in jeans and sweatshirts were jumping out of cars, not properly identifying themselves. We are going to learn from the past so we don't repeat the past. And we will never use, under my administration, any abusive targeting tactics that goes after people based on their ethnicity and where they live. That is not going to happen under my administration.
I'm sorry. Racial profiling is a tactic that actually works. My apologies for saying it. Forget that. No apologies. It works, and it saved a lot of black lives. And plus, you have cops identifying themselves when they roll up on a crime scene. Hey, I'm a police officer, or they got some big jacket that announces that they're police officers. It puts them at a disadvantage. It hurts their ability to do their job at that point. This is these desperate times call for desperate measures, and it's not that desperate to have an effective anti-crime unit. I just didn't like the tepid way he's rolling out this anti-crime unit.
There's no accountability for what's going on inside. He's a proud African-American man inside his own community. I've been over this story 1,000 times. My cousin Kyra in Atlanta. I'll say it again. I love her. And her son is a star quarterback on the high school football team. He's a straight-A student. And he got stopped 3 times last year in Atlanta for walking down the street. That's all he did wrong. He walked down the street. He's black. But guess what? Right in that community, and not far from where he was walking down the street, there was a crime committed, a black-on-black crime, and it was committed by a black youth. So it's not Kyra's fault, it's not her son's fault, but at the same time, if we know a crime was committed in that community by a black person, they're going to stop a black person!
And look at the stats. I mean, a certain demographic, who I'll not name right now, they commit a disproportionate amount of the crime.
Right.
So you go after that particular demographic.
So
that's what you do.
So let's start talking about real accountability and the real problem and cleaning up. And Barkley, I said this before, Charles Barkley, and cleaning up that community, your community, our community. And then when the cops do that, then you can say, come on. But to just continuously blame white people and cops, when in fact the issues are right there and caused by that community, is lazy, dangerous, and now we're starting to see deadly.
It is.
That's terrible.
That's terrible, says Joel. We have to go, for example, the schools. We're failing the black families, schools. Forget the soft bigotry of low expectations. Let's raise expectations. Let's improve the schools. Let's not make it so that this particular demographic is committing a disproportionate amount of crimes. Let's fix that. That is a root cause. You say that guns flowing into the city is a root cause. I say that, the families are root causes. Lack of dads, et cetera, et cetera. Lack of good education. Lack of, expectations. You know, math is racist. Excuse me? You saying that is racist. That's what that is. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. And a great job out of Justin Ellick and company for that particular clip interspersing those two things. One last thing politically real quick. Bill O'Reilly's all over this. Joe Biden yesterday did nothing. He had nothing on his schedule, nothing. He called a lid, as they call it, at 3:05. All he did was go to a woman's boutique store where he bought a mug with Kamala Harris's picture on it, pretended like he likes her, and he bought ice cream. That is what he did as we're on the precipice of World War III.
I like ice cream.
I love ice cream.
I think I bought some Fresh Direct. I think I bought some. Don't be a girl. I did buy Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, but you ain't running the war versus Putin, bro.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, not
but
today.
Then again, neither is Joe Biden, as a matter of fact.
We have that common. We both bought ice cream, and neither one of us are running the war against Russia.
And one last thing here. By the way, your boy Michael Rappaport, he was it's not just gun violence. It's pushing people onto subways. It's all these people walking into high-end stores, pharmacies, just randomly, wantonly looting, walking in, walking out casually. Michael Rappaport caught it on tape. It was great. And he was screaming. And he's a flaming liberal. But hopefully, again, this is why I think the tide may be turning. People like him. And I know you say he'll never vote Republican. Well, he may. He may. Who knows? In 2022, he may vote for the person who's going to stop the looting in CVS.
To your point, and I do talk to Michael. We just spoke 3 days ago. He's got a very popular podcast, I Am Rappaport, which I'm supposed to be on the next 2 or 3 weeks. He is very angry, and he's very angry with a lot of stuff going on. So you may not be wrong. He is voicing his displeasure, and it's a number one story on NewYorkPost.com today. So you may be right.
And lastly, this one creep who entered your life, and your Uncle Norm Coleman, former senator from the great state of Minnesota. This guy is a complete and total lowlife. He was run out of the Senate, probably unfairly, but either way, I'm glad he was. But this is what he said yesterday about the upcoming elections in November of 2022. This is how sick some of these people are. Listen to Al Franken.
This is a serious one, and I think other people are feeling it. It feels like, I don't know, 1930, 33, 34, Germany, and right. I'm just like, I don't know, in a tavern, and I look over the other table, and there's guys in black jack boots and Nazi uniforms, and I'm going like,
Laughing?
This looks bad. Yeah, I wonder how bad it can get.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He really is. He's a stupid son of a bitch. I mean, you know what? Get the hell out of the country. What restaurants are you frequenting that you're sitting next to Nazis with jackboots? I mean,
stop.
What the hell are you talking about? How dare you compare what happened to Jews in Germany to what's going on in this country? The last election, more people voted in the history of this country, in the history of the country. And there's no reason to think that it's going to be any different coming up in November of 2022. No reason to think that. So to put that out there, and a lot of Democrats are, if we lose big, it's going to be because the election was stolen, which is exactly what they vilified Trump for saying back in November of 2020.
Even though Stacey Abrams did the same thing in the state of Georgia. And you're right, 153 million people, if you believe those numbers, 80 million to Joe Biden, 73 to our guy Trump, 153 million people voted the last election. That's got to include some black people, I'm going to say. I don't know. What do you think? A couple of black people?
Yeah, more black people voted. Again,
of course.
Record turnout. Record turnout.
They had driver's licenses.
Yeah.
Library cards.
How dare they demand identification?
Right.
Oh, you have to show a vaccine passport to go in a restaurant. That's identification, right? That's not racist. I mean, these people are all over the place. They make me sick, Sydney, on the Bernie and Sid
show. I'm right with you, buddy. I am right with you, right there, lock and step. We do need a contestant for Beat Bernie coming up after Ann Donnelly in about 20 minutes. Your chance to win a $100 gift card, compliments of Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers, and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to take on the smartest guy that I know. My partner, Bernie McGurk, is coming up very shortly. I see Gabby Lopez on the stream right now, WABCRadio.tv, where you can watch me and Bernie every day. Gabby is putting up the shirtless picture of me on the cover of Dan's Papers, the Hamptons magazine. And it's funny because I'm holding up right now, Gabby can see this. This was the Iron Man magazine cover, and I had 20 glossy 8x10 photos printed out. So that I can sign these, because I get requests all the time. I get people slide into my DMs and ask me for autographs all the time. And this one goes on to state WABC's sexy morning show host. So one more time, Gabby. Here it is. I've got a bunch of these. And if you want me to sign it, I'll be happy to send it out. So, boy, that was really, you talk about narcissism, Bernie, between the shirtless Dan's Papers Hamptons magazine, and 8x10s that I made for myself at Staples. If that's not the epitome, Bernie, of narcissism, I don't know what is. Is Bernie even there? Our next guest. Well, I love this lady. I had the chance to do a bunch of events with her out on Long Island, her and Bruce Blakeman, before she eventually won. And it was such a gratifying win, because if you listen to this show, you know, forget about me, Bernard, how much he couldn't stand, and he was right, Todd Kaminsky. Thank God this lady beat him, and that is Ann Donnelly. Annie, welcome back to the Bernie and Sid show. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. I'm good, thank you. I hope Bernie's doing well.
I'm doing very well, Ann, right here. And I love you,
Bernie.
By the way. I've been watching on Channel 12 out here on Long Island, prosecuting these MS-13 people. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. That was a very satisfying moment to watch him get sentenced to 32 years to life. horrible, violent crimes he committed.
Well, that's a big deal. And, you know, we were talking quite a bit about MS-13 guys just a couple of years ago out there where Bernie lives, not in his neighborhood, of course, but on Long Island. So it's a very, very big deal. And these were the types of things that people on Long Island, people in New York knew in when they voted you in and got rid of Todd Kominsky, that you're going to be serious about this. So while we're about to attend not one but two police officer funerals here in New York City over the next week, and crime continues to spike here in New York City, and quite frankly, Long Island as well, you clearly are the right and only choice to save us moving forward. We need more people like you. Where do we find them?
Sid, we're out here. You know, all people have to do is look. I know so many prosecutors who made a career, as I did, 32 years in the district attorney's office, out of prosecuting and working hand-in-hand with our men and women in blue. My heart is broken over Jason Rivera and Wilbert Mora. You know, you're talking about two young men. They're the ages of my youngest child and my oldest child. So I almost look at them as my sons, and what happened to them was awful. You know, Jason Rivera said he wanted to bring smiles to people's faces when he became a New York City police officer. Wilbert Mora just, you know, donated his organs to save others' lives. Five New York City police officers have been shot in the last 3 weeks, 21 days. What is going on?
Yeah, it's amazing. And you have all these liberal politicians scrambling to show their sympathy for the police after the contempt and the disdain and disrespect that they propagated over the past few years that led to a lot of police deaths, a lot of civilian deaths. You even had, by the way, that rat Todd Kominsky in recent days come out and say, we need to reform this cash bail law that I put in place. I mean, people like him actually is starting to come around, turn around or whatever. But it's a little too late. Would you say, Ann?
Absolutely. I chuckled when I read the comment about Senator Kominsky saying we need to reform the bail law, considering he stood up, you know, stood across from me every day saying the bail law is fine. We know it's not. You know, 3 years ago, we district attorneys and law enforcement organizations, we raised our hands and we told the legislators these bills on discovery and bail were too extreme. And we told the legislators these bills would make New York less safe, and nobody wanted to listen to us. And now everyone's saying we should fix it. Even the administrative judge of the state, Judge Marks, told the state legislator yesterday that judges need broader discretion. I mean, it's so simple. That's the one fix you could do in one day.
Mm-hmm.
If the judges back their discretion.
Sure. Absolutely. Ann Donnelly, but I'm not sure if you were listening earlier. We did play the cuts of Cousins. No cut of Heastie yet, but they are digging in. They are digging in. They are saying that they're reforming nothing.
They won't allow a vote, Sidney.
They won't even allow a vote. To Bernie's point, which is a brilliant point, which he's made a bunch of times this morning. Thank you, Bernie. You're right. Won't even allow a vote. But they say it because the truth is, according to them, which is a lie, the truth is the numbers show that this bail reform works, and most people do not commit crimes once they're released, not violent crimes at least. And it's about time that black and brown people were treated fairly by the justice system. What a bunch of nonsense!
You know, it just amazes me that they hang their hat on this, the judges treating black and brown people fairly. I have never seen a judge treat anyone unfairly. Our judges are bright, dedicated men and women who want to see justice done. They're not, you know, out to get anybody. And
by the way, I would even posit it's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
That these judges go out of their way to appease black and brown people. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. I have seen judges order, you know, programs that are incredibly helpful to people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I have seen them ask them, you know, complete this program. Let me see you succeed, and I'll make sure that you don't spend any time in jail. And that's fine. That's great.
But so, Ann Donnelly,
not that discretion anymore. I mean, I can't even get people into a drug program anymore because the judge doesn't have the discretion to say go or you're going to jail.
And that's the disgusting part. The part that Todd Kominsky knew would happen. And that's what makes what he did all the more despicable. But he's in the rearview mirror. You know, Ann Donnelly, the DA out here in Nassau County, we've been saying this, Sydney and myself, all morning. We have to put names to this no cash bail law. And we just talked about Andrea Stewart Cousins and Carl Heastie. I submit that you and Bruce Blakeman put the names Cousins and Heastie towards the obstacles of reforming this no cash bail law. Make them, I don't know, some sort of a marketing campaign with blood on their hands. I mean, they're the ones that are really the obstacle standing in the way of getting this thing changed, and we need to do something about it.
And I can't even imagine a point where a state legislator does not say, we'll listen. You know, to stand up and say, we're not reforming anything, be quiet. That's not how government's supposed to be run. You know, we have a say in this. People want this to change. And the fact that they're not listening, I just hope the voters come out and tell them how they feel in November.
Well, we did it last November, and Bruce Blakeman, of course, was a gratifying win. But you certainly were at the very, very, very top. That win over Kaminsky made nobody happier than Bernie, me,
Sydney,
and a bunch of others.
Can I ask you one question? Did that Kaminsky guy ever call you and congratulate you on your victory?
He never called me. He never conceded, and he never congratulated me.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Very telling. Very telling.
Does say a lot. Hey, listen, Annie, we're big fans. We're very happy you won, obviously, and continued success out there on Long Island and continue keeping people safe. Again, great job on the MS-13 stuff, and you be well, okay?
Thank you so much. You too.
Take care.
Thank you for what you do. And Donnelly, the Nassau County DA out here in beautiful Long Island, where I live, where I'm broadcasting from right now, and grateful for being here. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we're going to play Beat Bernie next, right, Sydney?
Yes, we are, but first we've got all kinds of other stuff to get to.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Bro, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm reading 100 commercials. Now, listen, that's great. Goes to show you advertisers can't get enough of me and Bernie. And this show is really, really successful. Really successful. But I'm exhausted. Are you giving me two live reads every break?
Listen, I'm trying to take the load off our boy who's at home.
Yeah.
And you're here. Makes it easier for us to get communicate with you to get them done.
No, that's fine. If it's easier on Bern, I don't care.
Yeah, of course it's easier on Bern.
Right. So if I die, it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I keep saying, Bernie's got cancer, but I'll die first. Trust me.
Right. If you die, we'll still have you do the live reads.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if I'm dead?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's never been done, I don't think.
No.
I would get a Marconi for that, I'd have to think, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Luciano in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Lucky, what's going on, badass?
How are you, Bernie?
I'm Sid, but it's close enough. Do they call you Lucky Luciano?
Hey, Sid. I apologize. I'm working. I'm busy. My mind's all over the place.
No, that's okay.
With those advertisements. I apologize.
No, that's okay. So Luciano's a great name. They do, and obviously, I'm sure they call you Lucky. I just saw the movie about Meyer Lansky with Harvey Keitel about 2 weeks ago. I love that name, Luciano. That's where's your family from? What part of Italy?
Salerno, closer to the beach, though. We live off of the Amalfi there in Cilento.
The Amalfi coast. Oh, doesn't get prettier than that. Yeah,
that's
I know.
Why. I'm like, Frank Cittarelli called in yesterday, and you got so jealous he was there. I figure I'd call today.
Yeah, that's, oh, wow, you have a great memory. That's right. That's right. Actually, Jack Cittarelli, but you're in Hawthorne, New Jersey. And you're clearly an avid listener and a real loyal supporter, so thank you for that.
Right next to your favorite place, Glen Rock.
Is that right?
Yeah, Hawthorne's right next to Glen Rock.
I didn't realize that. And again, Glen Rock, my neighbors in upstate New York, the Spivaks. I was in Glen Rock many, many, many times. That whole part of northern New Jersey, I know somebody in just about every town, from North Hallidin to Glen Rock to Paramus to River, all of them, that whole area. So it's lovely there.
But they probably remember your name. I apologize so much.
No, that's okay. Are you ready to play?
Let's do it, Bert.
All right. I'm Sid again. You're having a really tough time with this, aren't you? I'm still Sid.
I'm so nervous to play.
Don't be nervous. You're talking to me. It's all good. Here we go. In January 2017, Vice President Mike Pence cast the breaking vote to confirm who as Secretary of Education. It's hard. Come on.
That is hard.
Yeah.
Secretary of Education. I hope he was Republican.
Well, you're off the bat already because it's a she. It was Betsy DeVos. Wrong, Betsy DeVos. Succeeded
that's a,
by...
That's a good one, yeah, for, that's a good one for Bernie.
He ain't going to get it right.
That's a good one for Bernie.
Succeeded by the 12th President of the United States, Zachary Taylor, who was the first President of the United States to choose not to seek re-election after one term. Who was the first not to seek re-election after one term, and he came after Taylor.
Hulk?
Yes. Wow, nice job, Luciano. Number three, what is the name of Andrew and Chris Cuomo's mother? I'll give you a hint. My son is starring in a play at his school, a Broadway show named after her, too. He's playing Nigel Gabriel.
I remember Andrew talking about his mother during during the pandemic.
Right.
It's an old Beatrice.
Close.
Wrong, you two-legged back of Anthony.
Her name is Matilda. Matilda.
Oh, Matilda. That's my aunt's name.
There you go. Located in Huntington, West Virginia, what college is named the United States Supreme Court's first African-American? I'll give you a hint. Chad Pennington went there. They made a movie about it because the plane crashed and the whole football team died, and Matthew McConaughey was in the movie. What's that?
No, it wasn't Virginia Tech.
No. Marshall, very good. Pennington went to Marshall, not Virginia Tech. Very good. Two out of four. Here's your last one. Prior to the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, the largest labor union in the United States of America was the AFL, which stands for what? And it's not the American Football League. No?
I'm not even sure.
That would be the America Federation of Labor, the AFL. All right, two out of five.
That's the third part. I can never remember the first part of anything, as you can see.
That's okay. You did okay. You got two right. Let's get Bernard back up here on the pod here. Bernie, you there?
I'm here, Sydney.
How you living?
Like a turkey on Thanksgiving.
I saw you did there. Well, three right, you win today's game, okay?
Okay.
Heidi. In January of 2017, Vice President Mike Pence cast a tie-breaking vote to confirm who as Secretary of Education.
Secretary of Education?
Yeah.
That would have been, what's her name? Betsy Voss. Voss, right? It's Voss.
Close. You're so
forget
close.
Her first name.
You're too, like a back of
wait a minute.
Betsy DeVos.
DeVos, okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to give it to me?
No, of course not. It's not right. What do you mean?
That ain't right, man.
That'd be like calling me Sidney Rose instead of Sidney Rosenberg.
That ain't right, bro. You...
You're not gonna... Listen, if you start thinking you got some sympathy stuff here, you may as well forget about it, Bernard.
No, go ahead, bro.
Number
you're
two.
You're right. I got it wrong.
That's
bottom
it.
Bottom line.
Three out of four here you win. Which you'll get anyway. Succeeded by the 12th President of the United States, Zachary Taylor, who was the first president of the United States to choose not to seek re-election after one term? Said, no thanks, no more for me.
Who was the first president to do what?
Not to seek re-election after one term.
It was, I guess I'd have to go with Millard Fillmore.
No.
Wrong, you're two-legged back of
James Polk, and the contestant got that one right. Oh, you got to get these three right to win the game.
Damn.
What is the name of Andrew and Chris Cuomo's mother?
That would be... Oh, God. Very nice Italian
Gabriel
name.
Gabriel is starring in the play right now. He plays Nigel.
The Who's name, starring in the play?
My son, Gabe. He has rehearsal every night.
Yeah. It would be... I just can't recall. Maria.
Oh.
Wrong, you two-legged back of Anthony.
Matilda.
Matilda.
If you get these two right, you tie. If not, he wins. Talking about Luciano in Hawthorne. Located in Huntington, West Virginia, what college is named for the United States Supreme Court's first African-American?
That would be the Clarence Thomas University. No, Thurgood Marshall.
Oh.
I got you, right?
He got it again.
I got you. You thought I. You said. Hey,
I thought you had it wrong. Yeah, a Marshall University. They don't put the Thurgood there. But you got it. So for the tie here, prior to the CIO, Bernard, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, the largest labor union in the United States of America was the AFL, which stands for what?
That would be the American Federation of Labor.
That's right. 2-2, your final score today. Two good guys, Bernie and Luciano in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Bernie, and by the way, he referred to me twice as Bernie. Say hello to Luciano.
I'll do that, Bernie. What's up, Luciano?
Hey, Bern, I apologize, Sidney. Don't take it personal, buddy.
Oh, it's all good.
Hey, listen, with two New York guys, it's the radio. You know, it happens.
Good game, Bern.
You know, man.
I was trying to get Justin, if I won there, to donate the money to Tunnel to Towers.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, you didn't win, so you screwed Tunnel to Towers.
I always get a second opportunity with you guys. You guys,
you can as well. Absolutely. Or you could just donate $100 yourself. I mean, I donate. You should as well. Everybody should donate to Tunnel to Towers. By far.
Yep.
The best charity for veterans and first responders in the country.
In the world.
Tunnel to Towers.
All you got to do is donate $11 a month. That's it. T2T.org. T the number T2.org. Just $11 a month, and you'll buy a veteran a house. Hey, Luciano, great job, brother. Thank you so much.
Enjoy, guys. God bless, Bern, Sidney. Enjoy.
You too, pal. Do want to wish a happy anniversary. He's married 46 years today to our friend Heshy Augenbaum. 46 years. Happy anniversary. His wife is lovely. I've met her. She's a beautiful, beautiful lady.
So is he.
Yes, he is. Happy anniversary. Yep. 1-800-848-WABC. We'll come back and wrap things up on this Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid right after these words.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Dig this. Check this out, folks. Hold the notes. Out of touch. He's such a good dancer, Luke. Great job by all you guys today. Justin Ellick, Luke Legrano, Mike Garcia, Frankie Diaz with an E, Deb Valentine. Christina's back tomorrow. Pete Morgan, Bernie, live in studio with Bagels coming up tomorrow.
Oh, Petey, I'm coming in.
You should. He actually put that day aside to come see you. But regardless, that was a fun show today. I think we kicked major ass again. You know, a lot of people probably are not thrilled about getting up on a Wednesday morning in New York City and hearing you and I talk about him. But, it could be worse.
Yeah, but there are other people who want to hear the truth, the raw, unvarnished truth. And that's what they got from us today.
And every day. That's what we do. So get some rest. You were great again. We all love you. And it was fun. And I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at about 5:55. How about that,
Tom? All the love, Sidney.
You the man, Bernard. You the man.
How can I be the man if you the man?
Come on now. All right, folks. We done. From all of us to all of you. Matt Meany, you too. Until 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Peace.